We're going to call the Northern Swatch County Fire Protection District Board meeting to order at 7:01. Up first, Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm not Englishing very well.
Okay. Director's roll call.
That's all right. We'll circle.
Jeff over phone?
Yeah.
Will?
Present.
Francis?
Here.
Richard?
Here.
Sean's here. Need an approval of the agenda. Any changes, additions, or deletions to tonight?
No, so far, too, huh?
Tonight's agenda?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Jeff, can you hear okay in there?
It's a little muffled, but I'm picking it up, yeah.
Okay, okay. That's all I can do.
We'll do introduction to guests. Sean Vollertson, Board President.
Craig Tomaski, Crestone Station Chief.
George Freese, Station Chief, Willow Grove, Bonanza.
Tim Alainoff, Swatch Fire. Chief.
Richard Drake, board member.
Francis Wilson, board member.
Will Schellenberger, board member.
Wes Moores, district fire chief.
Julia Close, district secretary.
Go ahead, Jeff. Did you hear us?
Jeff Phillips is on the line.
Secretary.
Secretary of board.
Scott Close, building.
Daniel Johnson, safety at Preston. Nate Randall, Preston.
John Barber, Moffitt firefighter. Turtle Ward, Swatch Fire.
Okay. I need approval of the minutes from January 12th.
Motion to approve.
Second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. You have to have Jeff sign it when
you get that. No, just have him sign it.
You want me to sign this one? Or you?
Oh, yeah, I have one, sorry.
We'll sign it.
I can do that before.
He's sitting in Jeff's chair.
Or should we have?
It doesn't matter. I'll just put whoever signs it in there. It's fine.
I will give it to Will and feel important.
You guys remember to speak up because Jeff's online going to probably have a little bit more difficult time to hear.
You still hear us?
You don't need to say
yeah, that. I got you.
Where his name is.
Where Jeff is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
Reading of the bills.
Thank you.
Xcel Energy. $689.54 at Swatch Electric and Natural Gas.
That's
for 1 month?
Yep.
XL Energy, $36.88. Bonanza. Pinnacle Assurance, $237. Audit Adjustment. Law of the Rockies, $540. Legal Consultation Shelter Agreement. Haynes Incorporated, $169.60. Crestone Station Hose and Reel. Crawford Auto Parts, $141.12. Engine 1 and fuses for stock. Swatch County Road and Bridge, $982.45 for asphalt repair. Terminex, $339.93. Terminex, Villa Grove. $333.93. It's too many threes. Terminex, Villa Grove and Moffitt. Monta Vista Co-op, $1,935.33. Willow Grove and Crestone Propane. Consolidated Communications, $90.48. Moffitt Phone. Consolidated Communications, $89.40. Crestone Phone. SLV Rural Electric, $68. Crestone Electric. SLV Rural Electric, $167. Villa Grove Electric. Cielo, $85.44, watch internet. Special District Association of Colorado, $601.67, SDA membership. Total of $6,167.84.
Now, correction on the Haney's. That was for a hydraulic hose for Craig's backhoe that he blew doing some work up there, and I just told him the district would replace it.
Okay.
We haven't bought any fuel for him. We haven't bought anything like that, and I just felt like when he called me and said he had blew a hose, could he go get one? Absolutely. So.
And on the SDA membership, it has to be paid by the end of the month to get the 10% discount. So if you guys don't want it, I'll hold the check back. If you do want it, then we'll send the check off.
I think we'll keep that.
Yeah, it's a good thing to belong to.
Oh, yeah.
But no payroll in this?
Oh, crap. Yeah, no, we were all paid. No, I didn't put it on the sheet. I knew I forgot something, Richard.
Well, you're not getting paid then.
No, I already got paid. So Wes, and so did Kendall. Because I did the payroll on ADP, but I didn't put it here. It's.
Do you have a total?
Yeah.
And we signed them.
Well, no. Pull them out. Wes and I,
you can't have checks.
You can't have checks. Wes and I get mail or electronically deposited now.
I'll add it.
Okay,
on.
It was goodness gracious.
I was thinking this month's bills was all from light.
Yeah. I know, so did I.
I'm glad you caught that.
I know, the total.
Dude, we're fixing a makeup for it.
Yeah, the total for payroll was $5,565. The payroll taxes were nine. Hold on, I'm doing math in my head. The payroll taxes were $1,010.51. Sorry I didn't put that on the sheet, guys. I knew I forgot something.
So we add that to...
So we're right at...
61... 11... 4...
Almost 12,000.
55, 65... And 1,000...
No, the 1,000's in the 55, 65. That's total payroll.
Oh.
Oh, I just cleared it all. Okay, 6,100 and... 67.
Hey, Sean, can you have whoever's speaking have the phone kind of closer to them just a little bit?
Yeah, we'll try to pass it around.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, total of $11,732.84 is the bills. Need a motion to pay the bills.
I make a motion to pay the bill.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Let's see. Executive bill presentations.
Grant writing.
Update on grant writing.
So Yvonne's not here tonight, simply because Dell just got out of hospital after 9 days, and she's calving for the neighbor at night. So she didn't have a lot to report tonight, but she did talk to the Rio Grande Basin Roundtable about our fire wells, one in Villa Grove and one in Moffitt. They have $350,000 sitting in their grant thing, but they thought they might know somebody who would want to fund the whole thing. So there's going to be a lot more discussions, but she thought that was... pretty encouraging that she just had a phone conversation with them, and they're going to want some stuff, and we're probably, if they can get these other person, they'll want us to go down and give them a presentation. They may fund wells for both places. The cadet grant program, that's kind of on hold right now. Don't know where that's going for sure. Bill McClure was in charge of that. And Bill McClure's no longer with us, so that'll be changing a little bit. The money's still there, still probably going to happen. We just don't know what all the rules and changes are going to be because Bill's no longer the guy to talk to. So that's her nutshell. She will be here next month barring something else happening with Dell. So things are not good with Dell right now. So.
Okay. Did Bill just...
Bill got murdered.
Bill got murdered.
Bill McClure got
murdered. Bill McClure? Yeah, they beat him to death in his house.
Oh, I didn't hear
just
that.
Just 3 or 4 days before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I knew Bill real well.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Any questions on the grants that I can answer for you?
Make them happen.
Yeah. Well, just continue.
Sounds good.
We'll just continue to work. But we're going to go through the round table.
Okay.
Financial report.
All right.
Weekend before.
Jeff, can you hear me?
Uh-huh. Can somebody make sure that door's open over there?
It's unlocked.
Jeff, can you hear me? I'm going to keep talking. Maybe he's just in a dead spot.
He could be.
Okay, so the district received $359.27 for the pension fund. That is not on your bank sheets because I did not get the deposit before I did the pension. It will even out next month. For the general fund, we received $5,374.48. That was entered. We talked about the SDA. You guys want to do that? I also didn't receive the Moffitt Excel bill. So that was not in with the payments. And I tried to correct the situation with CenturyLink. It ain't going to happen. I don't receive the bills for this month until the 28th of the month. I can't get them to change the bill date. Apparently, I have to sell the children or one of my kidneys. yeah, which one?
Child.
I've already started doing the audit. I need the engagement letter signed. I'm assuming we did discuss still doing Walsmith and Bateman a couple months ago. I just didn't have the audit form for you guys to sign. And I need a motion to move ahead with the audit. So can I get a motion to allow Walsmith and Bateman to do our?
I'll make a motion. You go ahead with it.
Who seconded it?
I don't know.
All in favor?
Aye.
So you want me to sign this?
Yeah, sign that for you.
And I just sign it?
Yeah, just you. I just need one. Okay. Hey, Bill.
Hello.
In your folders was a final draft after our attorney reviewed the shelter-in-place agreement with the county. I sent it to David Freeze. He then sent it to the county attorney. He said it looked good, so David is taking it to the commissioners. Then once the commissioners sign, they'll bring it to us for a signing. There was some changes, nothing drastic. It's in your folder to look at, so if you have a problem with it, we need to speak up. Basically the thing, so our attorney asked them, hold on, to make sure I do my words right. The attorney basically put in a liability clause protecting us if somebody from the commissioners or the sheriff's office, somebody else, had an accident here, that it would indemnify them before us. But the reality situation is we're both government agencies that are insured and exempt from lawsuits.
They can't sue us and we can't sue
them. Yeah, we can't sue them. They can't sue us anyways, so it's really not a point to have it. He put it in thinking, yeah, it's not a bad thing to have, and the county attorney said, yeah, it's fine, but I'm going to put one in too. So they both agreed to take him out.
We just thought that's stupid. Why put extra
stuff in there?
Stuff in here when we don't need it.
So it took it out. It made it smaller. The other corrections were spelling, punctuation, Roman numeral. So it is right now waiting. It should go in front of the county commissioners at their next meeting. So hopefully next month I'll have it here for you guys to sign.
Okay.
If they approve it and don't change it. But their attorney was happy with it.
And I can show you the red line from our attorney, from Alex.
Yeah.
You have that at last month's meeting.
Yeah,
you?
Well, so we did a red line. Then the county back with his red line. And they both agreed to delete a bunch of it. And then
we wanted
them
to clear it up. And
make
so
it simple.
I directed Julie to send it back to him, tell him, get that out of there if we don't need it. And get the attorneys to look at it again so we can move forward.
Yeah.
And
so
we
should
did. This will be the
final.
Looks like this will probably be
the final. Yeah, their attorney was fine with it. I can't remember his name right now.
Brad. Cromwell.
Right. So, as I said, the commissioner should have it at their next meeting. So hopefully we'll have it at our next meeting to sign. Also in your folders was what I received for the wildland support agreement that Craig sent over. So that'll be discussed later, I'm sure. But that was in your folders, and I emailed it to you. thank you, Kendall, George, and Craig. Bank statements. Hey, Bill.
They're right here.
I did right now. Right now, please. Right now, so I don't forget them.
Pass
it down. Chiefs, your bank statements, except for Bill, are in your folder. So thank you for that. I appreciate you guys getting them to me. Chiefs, also in your folder was a flyer for Naloxone project. It has a QR code, so if you want to order more, you just scan that QR code. Oh, no, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's not to order more. It is to report where you handed it out to.
Yeah.
So we got a box of this stuff, and I don't know if one of the chiefs chose to order it or if they just sent us more because I didn't ask for any more. So I'm assuming y'all didn't, so... They sent us more, and now you don't have more.
They sent nice laminated sheets, so I put them in your folder. So put them on your desk. Use it to report what you give out and what you distribute. I never put it that way. I just need to read it that way.
But that goes through me. If you guys give it out, make sure I know about it.
Yeah.
You know, so we can make sure it gets reported. That was a responsibility I signed and took part of. So
they want to know where it goes. In return, we can get all we need. There's also posters in there that need to hang up, the employment posters. There's going to be a bunch of them this year with all these changes, so hang them up. Yes, even the one that asked for the payday, hang it up. Please. I know, nobody has a payday, but it still has to be hung up. Wow, I'm done.
Okay.
Any questions, comments, concerns? I like it.
I guess Jeff's still with us.
I don't know.
Jeff, are you still with us, bud?
Yeah, I'm with you here. It's kind of muffled, but I'm still here.
Okay, she put it right over by her, but we'll try it again.
Don't accuse me of being quiet.
Okay, next thing is firefighter membership applications, resignations, and requests for retirement. We have one application from Catherine Dewey.
Dewey.
Lemley. Did I say that right?
Spence. Yeah, Spence.
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 Oh, Spence. Lemley. For Crestone Fire. Did you guys all look at it?
I did.
Did you see it, Richard? Okay.
The one issue that I'll just bring right out is she does not live within the district. She lives in the Baca, and our bylaws are pretty specific as to they have to live in the district for 6 months unless you guys decide that person is a better fit. So... that's in our bylaws. That's station under number two, stations, permanent active membership. And B says, no person shall be a member of the station unless and until he or she has resided in the district at least 60 days prior to applying to the station for membership, except in some cases an exception may be made by the district board of directors for the requirements of this subparagraph. For persons who are in the district on a regular basis for reasons other than residency. Kind of puts that in your court.
In the past, anybody that doesn't live in the district or hasn't, then we've always denied that application unless if they move into the district. I mean, the precedent was set with Bill's son, and then there's been some others. And so I agree with the way the bylaws are written on that.
Okay. I'm with him. I agree with the bylaws. They're not in the district. Yeah. And they're not in the district.
Do I get to speak on this? going to speak on this. So Dewey is a very active member or very active person with fire experience. She's already attended two of our trainings and a meeting. She not only just lives in the Baca, but she has a business that's in district that she works.
What kind of business?
It's alterations and
hat making.
Yeah.
That second one, Sean.
Mm-hmm. And I know what the bylaws say, and it is case by case. She's not part of the Baca Fire Department, which is our biggest issue that we have. But the town of Crestone has 140 people in it. 80% of them are under 16 or over 50. If you guys deny membership from people that live in the Baca, how am I ever going to have anybody in my station? I need to be able to pull people from the Baca. And this is a very qualified person. She does fire mitigation as one of her jobs. She works wildfires.
Who does she do all that fire stuff with?
She's a subcontractor of Daniel Johnson, who's here tonight. And she's been on national wildfires, so she has that experience, which we need in our department.
How far out in the Baca does she live?
Does that matter? I guess is my, not to cut you off.
Yeah, I mean.
But we either have to follow the bylaws or we don't. And we can revisit the bylaws and we can make amendments to them. But hell, my son-in-law, future son-in-law, got denied. And he lived a mile south of the border of our cutoff at the present time. So I don't see how we can go against the bylaws. I think we can revisit the bylaws and work on them, but I strongly do not believe that we can go against the bylaws.
I'd like to speak on that too, if somebody outside the table can. I'm Crestone, assistant chief. We will not have a department if we can't use that clause that says that under certain circumstances, because it's just the pure numbers, that there are not physically enough people residing in that, unless we're able to recruit from Sawatch, and pull people all the way from over here to over there, we will not have responders in our trucks. You'll be calling, and there won't be anybody to drive them. Because I have a house in Baca, I have property, I have an ex who lives in Crestone, and I rent in Moffitt. But I'm not in district either, and I'm the assistant chief.
But you were a member of the department prior to these bylaws going into effect. And
correct.
So that was grandfathered in.
Drew up most of those, the original, that they were based
Well, these are district bylaws. These aren't Crestone bylaws.
Yeah, no, I know, but that was, a lot of that was, I believe, kind of imported. But the point, I think my one point to that is that there is a clause there that adds that, unless you see fit, and that's what I'm saying, that in the essence of protecting the, our area, because we need those trucks that close, because we have about 10 minutes with, we've had already two fires that have helped put out that would have taken out the whole town if we hadn't had a 10-minute response time.
May I add on really quickly?
Daniel Johnson.
Yes, sir. She's had a business in town of Crestone for 5 years. She owns the business. She was right there in the town hall for 5 years. Now she's out there on Highway T. But I'm saying she's been paying her taxes. She's bringing money in. It's not like she just moved here and doesn't know anybody. She's a very active member of the community. But But it's up to you folks. I'm just saying that she's very valuable to us with her knowledge and her youth. We need to get some younger people in there.
Wes, can I get a clarification on the bylaws?
Uh-huh.
Is it within the Northern Sauk County Fire Protection District, mm-hmm. not within the area of the station, right?
Right, within the district.
So it's just because Baca is not part of the Northern Sauk
Correct.
County Fire Protection District.
And then there's a second clause in there that we've that says you need to be within the response area where you're applying. So you live in Sauk, and we had some issues there, and we had to pin that down a little bit. And
I would have loved to have Will son-in-law if he would have been half
but
a mile
this it's just, you know, the board wrote the rules, and now they get to figure them out. There it is, highlighted. That's just my copy of everything highlighted. I have to highlight or I can't remember what I'm doing.
So how far out in Baca is she?
I would say 10, no more than 15 minutes.
She's out in the Grants?
She's in Chalet.
Chalet, which one?
Backside of 2, I think.
2. It's quite a ways.
And she's never lived in Crestone.
I don't know her previous residence. But she's been in the area for 7 years.
I think you guys can understand where the board is at here. They write rules, and then whenever they change the rules or vary from those rules, they need to justify that, or they set a precedent that they may not want to be setting. So it kind of puts them in a little bit of an awkward position. I let Craig know this right off the bat when I got it, that there was going to have to be a discussion. So.
And I think this is a prime time to put a little pressure on the bucket to join the forces and not want to be in separate entity.
I can speak to that as well, having faced 2 felony charges that and $20,000 in fees, and been pushed off my 3 years of service because I took on the political fight
and
try to get us into a unified district, and we had some really evil people fighting against that I personally took the brunt of, along with other people, we tried really, really hard to make that happen, and we lost by 1 vote on the second ballot for funding after having to call the sheriff's department over to inspect our fire station after we'd been accused of cooking meth in the firehouse to all the people in Guam.
Yeah, it was an ugly deal, and they got their district formed, and then they couldn't get funded. So it went through two other funding attempts, and they lost by 7 votes on 1, and the last time they lost by 1.
We've actually won the first one.
Yeah, but they contested it, right?
Yeah, and we lost by 1 on the funding.
Yeah. Yeah, you won forming the district.
Yeah, we won forming the district. We had a board. We had everything.
But they didn't get their funding the first time.
And it was all because rich people who have too many houses wanted to not pay their fair share.
And then the second time they lost by 1.
Yeah.
The second time was only a vote on the mill levy and the funding.
Yeah. And when I showed up in court, all 20 people that were against it were there. And I had to pull in every witness and money to come in.
Yeah.
One last thing. Current roster on Crestone Fire is 6 members, active members. One that lives over in Sauk, and one that it's a cadet. So really, we only have 4 people that have the ability to respond from Crestone. So we are in need of membership, and we are doing everything we can to gain more membership. But if you're asking us to pull from the town of Crestone, it's not going to happen.
Just out of curiosity, for my own knowledge, if someone lived between, let's just say, County Road T and Crestone, and you needed them, do they have to be on Crestone's district to go to a fire in Crestone?
They would
with
have
Crestone? Because I see, here again, this is very personal, my daughter, for mm-hmm. example, is smack ass in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. No, she's a district member.
Right. So does that... I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Maybe somebody can help me. We all kind of act like we're Swatch and we're Muffet and we're Crestone.
We're Northern Swatch County Fire.
Exactly. So my question is, that could boost if you added two members from Muffet that I can think of that are within 10 minutes of Crestone, that boosts his numbers if they need a report. Now, if Crestone has the call, Moffitt will also be responding.
Exactly.
So is that how we look at that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I pull as many trucks out of Moffitt through a year's time as I do out of this station. I'm the chief here.
So is it fair? I mean, Craig, I totally see what you're saying. But if you are still getting the support, I don't think it's fair that we say Crestone won't have a fire department per se in a few years, as someone said back there. I don't think that's a fair statement, because Moffitt's right there. I see what you're saying. You want more members on your squad, 100%. Sure. We can't go against the bylaws to get you that, unless we address the bylaws.
Well, there is a stipulation in the bylaws where it's case by case. So you have the ability in your bylaws to make this exception. And I get your point,
Pandora's
but
box.
If people in Moffitt are responding, they're responding in Moffitt trucks. And if we have a fire in the town of Crestone, and I don't have anyone to roll Crestone trucks, and we go to court and we say, oh, well, we don't have enough people in Crestone to roll Crestone trucks, we have to wait for Moffitt to show up.
I guess that's my question as a board member. If you have somebody, you have two people that live 50% close to Crestone than they do Moffitt. I mean, they're on the damn line.
If the fire's in Crestone, they need to head to Crestone.
Yeah, ask them to respond to
and
Crestone.
And do they know that?
Oh, yeah.
Do our members know that? I guess that's my question.
Yes. I've got a standing order in my building that if something happens in Crestone, we're rolling because we know they've only got so many people
right
there.
Well,
Quentin
will leave his house and go straight to Crestone.
Quentin can go there. When your daughter can go there. Bring their gear.
Do they know that?
Coming. Yeah.
Okay.
But at the same time, we do have automatic aid agreements with BACA, mm-hmm. and we may need to revisit those. And I certainly can with Ben and the POA revisit that. And that doesn't stipulate for structure fire or whatever. It's an automatic aid, mm-hmm. and we reciprocate back if they need us aid. We're going. And a lot of the fires that he's gone to have been in the BACA. So.
I'm also a grandfathered in, but I don't live in the district. I live in the BACA.
One member Nate's our.
You know, oh, I live. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nate's our only member.
Of course, have to you know.
You live in Moffitt. That's in the district.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what my question is to the bylaws, what was the driver on this that created this rule, and is this fulfilling that need, or is it actually hampering the ability?
That rule's kind of set pretty much every district, I mean, not in the state of Colorado. I mean, I was on Mosca Hooper, and you live 6 months in their district. Center has a deal, you live 6 months in their district before you can join their department. So, I mean, that's kind of a... Every department I know about...
has been a given.
It's, you live in the district, well, most of them, and 6 months to a year.
We've had issues over the past that we've had to deal with, where all of a sudden Northern Sawatch County is BACA, or we have folks that want to, you know, come into Sawatch. They live in Del Norte and work there. I responded with Del Norte because they didn't have anybody. But I never was a member of their department.
Would it be possible to write into the bylaws an exception for the Baca? Because it is kind of a unique situation in that it's surrounded on all sides by the district. And it's the only, it's like 95% of the residents.
It's not surrounded on all sides by the district, only to the north.
The south is not?
No. No.
That's Great Sand Dunes.
That's Great Sand Dunes. That's the thing. And that was a big discussion when these bylaws were done with our previous attorney. So I know it was a different board, or some of our board was different. So
we've also had conversations about people that don't live in the district but work in the district, so that they're in the district when our most needed time is, which is during the day. So the fact that she has a business in district and is, you know, works that business, she is technically in district during the day. And it's not every day that we get people with fire experience applying to the district.
I had two people, well, I'm just going to say what I need to say. I had two people that was lined up and ready to go that was working in the district, and they shut them down. So that's just my feelings about it.
Why?
Because they didn't live in the district.
They weren't residents.
They worked,
in the
but they didn't live in the district. They were here the majority of the day.
Can we revisit that rule? Because it seems like it's not helping us overall district-wide. I mean, just an outside observation.
I believe it could be revisited. I don't know if tonight's the night that we do it, especially missing a board member. But I'm not opposed to revisiting the rule. But I also think
we'd need an input from our attorney on words.
And we do have a new attorney now, so same firm, different attorney. Jeff, are you hearing this?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm catching part of it.
What's your thought?
So my thought is I'm not opposed to revisiting the rules, but I feel like the decision that needs to be made tonight is based on the current rules that we have. I know we had to do the same thing with Tate up on the Cochito. He wants to join Sawatch Fire, but he's not in our district, so we told him no. The same thing when Bill's son wanted to join, and he works in the district, but he doesn't reside there. And we told him no. I feel like the precedent has been set, and we need to stick to the rules that we currently have.
Yeah, I think we need to stick to those and revisit them.
Are you making that a motion, Jeff?
I didn't hear that.
Are you making that a motion?
I'll make a motion that as long as he doesn't live in the district, that we will not approve him at this time.
Her.
It is a she, but yes.
Wrong end of the phone.
Well, and let's add to it to table that application for right now until we revisit.
You good with that, Jeff?
Say that again.
Table the application until we revisit the bylaws.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay, need a second?
One second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Now we're up to fire department reports.
I got a note to call Alex here.
Can we add that to the agenda for next month?
Yeah, we'll let you bring on talk to him and then.
Yes, I'll go talk to Alex.
If you email, he will call you.
I probably will just set up an appointment and go over with these bylaws and sit down with him, because that's sometimes easiest.
And we'll add it to our agenda for next month.
Moving forward, I guess I still have a segregation of Crestone and Baca question. Why do they want to? Why did they try? Okay. And why don't they want to jump in all feet first?
I'll buy you a beer and give you the 3-hour version.
Well, give me the 30-second version.
Exactly. So it's three women, two of whom are now deceased, unrelated. Or anyway, Teresa Evans, who's a reporter, Lisa Syriax, who's a reporter, and Diane Dunlap, who used to have the marijuana dispensary at the corner, who owned about five big rental houses. And the way the property taxes are,
and
Diane Dunlap has passed away, yeah. She's the main culprit. And she had the other women working for her basically as attack dogs. But Diane owned about $3 or $4 million worth of real estate. And she pays for her fire protection for those houses when she was alive at the time it was about $376 a year. Now it's $679 a year or something. And because the Baca is supported by the POA dues, okay? So we had I think 16-point mill levy, 13-point, whatever it was, Wes remembers.
It was 14.
14. That would have paid for everything. And we would have had ambulance service for La Garita. We would have had an automatic mutual aid agreement. And we would have had Crestone and Baca unified as a single district, paid by property taxes, and she would have had to pay property taxes on about $5 million, $3 million worth of property instead of paying a POA fee of $300-something a year. So she was facing like $15,000 a year in her taxes going up, and decided that it was better to falsely accuse firefighters of the most ungodly things that she could come up with, because about two-thirds of our POA members have never even been to the Baca. They bought property there in the 70s on brochures with photos of the lake and the airport, and they live in Guam or somewhere in Phoenix, and they've never even been there. And so we had almost 100% of our local residents vote for the new district, and almost 100% of people who had never even been to the district or were here 20 years ago, who voted against it, because she ended up spending tens of thousands of dollars on a propaganda machine to convince them that every firefighter in the district was out to steal their money, and that we were unlawfully, that was the worst of it, was they accused us of cooking meth in the fire station. Thank goodness our sheriff put that one away in about 30 seconds. He said, "Hell no, we'll come bring some sniffy dogs." That's not true. But that was how low it got. And it wasn't the only accusation. There were about 20 accusations. And I took the high road because I have a background in politics. And those same people that were the propagandists wanted to smear, because my mom was very active in helping promote that, to smear my last name. And Teresa Benz, they got in cahoots, set me up with the White Eagle to take over their asbestos problem, and I followed the direction of the county clerk to take care of some details, and then ended up finding out that they were accusing me of wrongdoing. That ended up being what I did wrong was updated an address on a defunct LLC on a state website in order to pay the past due property taxes, and somehow that got turned into 2 years in court. And I knew that it was connected to the fire district because my first appearance in court was all 20 people that were part of that propaganda operation showing up on my first court appearance.
So with that said, when that happened, he was accused of a felony. So what we did, and as a district, our policy is when that happens is that we put them as inactive until that we suspend them until we get that cleared up. We can't have somebody out with an active felony. I've dealt with that before. And if you just can them, then you've done them wrong because there's due process. But I had a conversation with Alder at that time and told him where we were at, and he agreed, and we did a suspension. So he lost 2 years of active duty while he was trying to defend himself. And ultimately, he was proven not guilty. So as soon as they gave us that thing, he was back on.
Right.
So.
But that would have separated Crestone
from the district.
Swatch.
And I still have all of the paperwork and all the agreements that we had to go through, the board and everybody else. And
so at present time, who's in charge of the BACA? I feel like I'm the only one asking questions
here,
and I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, the BACA POA.
Okay, the POA. Do they not want to become part of the Northern Swatch Fire District?
Nobody wants to revisit this because it was a really expensive, bitter, acrimonious 5 years. And nobody wants to go back there. And all the people that were on our district board were happy to be volunteers, but we all got burnt so badly by it all that... you know, I would love to wave a magic wand and see that happen again, but, you know, after what I went through...
Jeff said to pass the phone around. He can't hear you guys.
I think Wes could probably speak on why the BACA is not part of the Northern Swatch.
Yeah, the BACA
district. Bits and pieces, but it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, if the district wasn't going to provide fire for the... BACA area, so BACA and back in history had to provide their own fire department.
No, that's not
so
the case.
That's why when
there was no district, there was no fire district. BACA became the POA. They formed their own fire, so we had little city departments. So I don't even know if there was a truck in Crestone at that time. So BACA was back in 72. Our district wasn't even formed till 79.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know.
So once that happened, BACA was already doing their own thing with their own POA dues. They did not want to be part of the district. And Lou Boffman did that. He's since deceased, and I don't have all those records. Probably could go look in the archives for him. But they did not want to be part of the district. And so Crestone did Mr. Sizemore up there and some others and Moffitt. So they put the district together, and they drew that line. So even now, even down to the mobile home estates and Camper Village, because that's all under the POA control, it was all drawn out.
You're correct, Wes. And, the other thing that you might not know is that it's a fire brigade, not a fire department, because it's privately owned. So that's why they could not be part of the district, because their tax base... does not cover fire.
They could have at that time, had they wanted to come in, they would have just had to been voted in and paid taxes like the rest of us. When they formed the Crestone Emergency Services District, they funded it, or they got it passed so they would go, but it was unfunded. So after it went unfunded, We couldn't just say, okay, Crestone, it's passed. You people don't get fire protection for us anymore. It had to be funded and manageable, and that didn't happen. So,
dozen people get on the next day.
Okay. It's the only private fire department in the whole state, I believe.
Right? One of the very few. Yeah. I think there's a few more, but it's one of the very few.
I think Lockheed Martin has their own, but it's on their own property.
100%.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a really interesting situation because Crestone has that. There's not a single piece of commercial. That's why I was involved with the White Eagle, because it's the only commercial piece of property in the BACA that was part of that. That's and not inside of city limits. But there's no. You can't have any businesses in the BACA, and yet there's no residences in Crestone. So 95% of the residents who do the business in Crestone, who shop there and go to the restaurants, live in the BACA, but there are no businesses other than like a home office in the BACA. So it's a really weird, it's weird with a capital W.
Okay. Well, that's clear as mud, most of it. Right, Will?
Absolutely.
So we had a motion and a second. Did you vote on it?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did that. We're on to fire department reports. Crestone is in the lead.
Crestone, with 6 membership, had a membership hours of 83 and 3/4. training hours of 21.5 for a total of 105 and a quarter. We responded to one structure and we're stood down.
What were the training hours?
21.5.
What was the training?
Yep. The training was on wildland maps, preparations, tools and tool maintenance, and vehicle exercise. Currently, the Baca tender is out of order, and I haven't heard if it's back in order, if back in service yet, but they don't have a tender right now.
Okay.
We're going to be submitting a list of wildland tool equipment that we need for the upcoming wildfire season. And we have one event fundraiser planned. It's a community education / movie night. We're gonna be showing a short film on wildland urban interface, and we'll have snacks and light food. And then we'll be showing the movie Towering Inferno from 1974.
Wow. You sure you're not going to have, you know, what was it, emergency?
Those steel air bottles.
And of course, it's open to the public. It's going to be on March 14th from 2 to 7 p.m.
Was it a fundraiser?
It was a fundraiser. Okay.
When was that, Craig?
March 14th.
Okay, since Richard sees that, we need a motion to approve the training, March 14th. Did you catch that, Jeff?
What's that?
Did you catch that about Crestone's training event?
I did not. Craig's so soft-spoken, it's hard to hear him.
Put from my mouth.
Pretty soft though. Okay. All right, so it's March 14th from 2 to 7 in the Crestone Station. They'll be showing a short film about wildland urban interface with discussion. We'll have a light snacks and food, and then we'll be showing the movie Towering Inferno from 1974. We will have an open invitation to the public, our district members, as well as the sheriff's department. So we just need to approve their fundraiser.
I'm making a motion, we approve it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Were you here? Did you get that?
Yeah.
Okay. My pen is dying. Let's see. 26, and you need this, right? Okay.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
I'm going across New Mexico. If you can have them hold the phone and speak into it, I'd probably be able to hear a little bit.
Okay. We'll do that. We'll make sure we pass it around. You got anything else?
No.
Okay, we're moving to Moffitt, and I'm going to hand it to Bill.
I'm going to have to sanitize that phone where I'm
going. Why'd you hand it to me first?
Training hours was 21 training hours with training on SCBAs, radios, and pump operations. Seems like we had a new person on the department around the trucks. We have 43 business hours or membership hours for a total of 64 hours.
Okay, I got it. Any calls?
We have one structure fire, two motor vehicle accidents, and one stand down.
Did we just lose him?
You still there, Jeff?
No, you don't know.
I think we lost him.
We'll call back.
Yeah.
Right. He wants to hear him come to me.
Anything else from Moffitt?
Anything else, Bill?
If they look at, just pass them around.
Pass them down there.
That's Moffitt's time.
That's Moffitt's time sheets.
I was just wondering if we could ask for donations for our upcoming Cajun boil right away without having a letter to you guys yet. Is that possible, or okay. I mean, or do I need to get you a letter?
When is that?
Seeking donations.
It's in June.
No, it's in July.
July. I mean, it's early, but we want to start on getting donations. I didn't know if we needed to.
I think it better be approved before we do that. So, you know, if you want to bring it next month, I think.
Oh, that's why I was asking this month, because we still have time. I just wanted to get a jump.
Yeah, bring it next month, the event form.
All
right. That'll be March, April, May, June. Yeah. So.
All right. That's quite a vacation for me.
Okay.
So, thank you.
You got anything else?
We're going to work on the office.
We've got a place for
incoming
the office.
Incoming call.
We don't want to talk to you, Jeff.
Are you there?
I'm there. I went through a big dip.
Did you went through or you are?
We're good.
Okay. I'm going to hand you back to Bill.
Is Bill done?
Yeah, no, I'm done.
Bill's done.
Bill's Kendall, done, so...
Kendall.
You get to talk to Kendall now.
Next up, Swatch Fire.
All right, Swatch Fire had 40 hours of training, 71 hours of membership for 111, one structure fire, two motor vehicle accidents, and three stand downs.
What was the training?
It was on hazmat awareness with DFPC.
Oh, how did that go?
It was awesome. We are working to put for the month of March, we're working on putting a DFPC training together for 2 months, March and April. It'll be a first attack on structure fires. So it'll be reading the smoke and ventilation, inner attack, when to move into a structure, when to move out of a structure, what size of hoses to hit structures with, and make sure of what water supply you have before you do an inner attack.
And is he going to be able to do that district-wide or just...
We can do it district-wide. It'll be on our regular training nights or the week of our regular training nights, depending on Matt's schedule.
Okay. And that's March?
March and April.
March and April.
It'll be about an 6 to 8 hour course, so we'll break it down into 2 months. 1 month will be reading the smoke, doing a... ventilation, all that. And the next month will be inner attack and how much water to make sure you have before you go in and the size of hoses. And it's going to pretty well sum up your first day of a structure academy. Your first 8 to 12 hour day of a structure academy.
Okay.
So
we need to do some meals for those when we get it.
Probably going to just do hamburgers. It's going to be kind of rough because we're going to want to start at 5:36 so we can get everybody out of here in time. So we'll probably start, we'll do some hamburgers. We got maybe ask the district to buy a box of burgers or something. And we'll do them out here on the grill and get started on it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it at all because as long, you know, get people coming across the valley or wherever before dinner, try to feed them. Keep them going.
Might encourage guys to get people in air packs this month, maybe, so then they're ready. That's on their mind when we start doing the rest of this.
Okay.
So, that's all I believe I've got.
All right. Villagrove.
Okay, Villagrove had 40 and a half regular hours, 44 and a half training hours for a total of 85. Our training was getting Attack 2 in service. Attack 2 is in service, and the old truck is now Attack 22, kind of a reserve truck. We responded to 4 calls. We had 1 motor vehicle accident, 1 automatic fire alarm in the Bonanza area, an iPhone crash alert, and a shed fire, which was a stand down.
We were looking.
We did a lot of looking, but we didn't find the phone.
At 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Those are so fun. Those are getting more and more common.
Anything else, Scott?
Nope.
I think that's it.
Okay. All right, District Chief.
Well, we're going to start with the radio and SCBA compressor grant from Homeland Security. That got denied.
Again.
Again, in full. They just don't have the funding. They all agree that it's a great grant and something we need, but from the local standpoint, they didn't even push it to the state. So that's a done deal for this time. Just wanted to let everybody know, we've got Scotty Nielsen with the BLM, who's got some, thinks he might have some Bendix King VHF radios that are in great shape that they'll probably be donating to us, and we'll just have to see how that goes along. The new Rio Grande Forest FMO is Skip Simmons. He's going to be the acting FMO for the year, so we'll be dealing with him a lot more. The SCBA mask bags are in. I have those, so get everybody. We have 30 of them, so that'd be 8 in Villa Grove, 8 in Sawatch, 8 in Moffitt, and 4 in Crestone, and then that's 28. So I'll have 2 to go to wherever we have glasses at. The glass mask hat.
Yeah, all of our guys came with
them. I thought they did,
but they did.
I just ordered 2 because we're going to lose a couple. I know it. True. I know you guys too well.
Come on.
The air quality testing equipment is being put up. The one in Villa Grove I know is installed. I do not know if they've got Moffitt's in yet. Yeah, North Sawatch. Mark got Villa Grove's in last Sunday. And instead of putting up a new pole, we had them put them on the antenna poles because they fit right on there, and they will not disturb our VHF radio system. So
Sawatch's
is up, and they put it on the building.
Yeah,
and they're pretty easy. They're solar. So they didn't even have to hook up to power at all. No. We did do the lease agreement with Cielo. You guys okayed that. I signed that agreement on the 14th, and I have a copy of that along with all their equipment. So.
Thank you.
Julie can keep it in her file. I had to do another agency letter for Marshall Fire Services. Joe Jaramillo was the inspector we were using on the housing over here. I did another letter. I've got a copy of it for everybody. Kind of split them up here. For the board members, I have a copy. Julie. One for Julie and one for Jeff. So they have a new inspector. Her name is Whitney Even. I have all her credentials. I can show you what it takes to become a fire inspector. She started in 2015 with a bachelor's degree, and she's had fire inspector 1, field blinds examiner, and now she's a fire code specialist, finally. So, and now certified fire marshal as of December 22nd. So, she's going to work with Marshall Fire Services. She will finish up all the commercial stuff, and if we have other commercial stuff that comes up that needs an inspector, they will have to get a hold of them. They will have to make arrangements, and they will have to pay them. And then, so I just, I know that everything's going by code. See, they have to inspect all the plans, the whole nine yards, so. Okay. I need to finish getting a hold of, I got a hold of them, Alcon, and we got kind of messed up on what doors need to repair. So I have the middle door in Villa Grove. That need the seal still, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, did they fix the cable last time it broke?
Yeah.
That was the end, the south door.
Okay, they've done the center and the south door.
Yeah.
Did the center one break too?
Yeah.
But
that's right, it came off.
It was the first one that went.
Oh. All my doors are working. All right, so.
Bonanza?
Bonanza, seals? I think, is good. I'm not sure about seals.
Okay. Crestone, your doors?
I have an appointment with Alcom.
Okay, so you're coming to check them?
This week.
Okay, good. And Moffitt? Oh, no. So watch. Kendall, were all your doors sealing good? You had an issue with the door.
This one back here, and the middle bay doesn't.
You don't stay up.
No, you can see daylight through the west door.
And you said it won't stay up?
The one where engine 7 normally is won't stay up.
Yeah, it starts.
You put it up partway and it comes back down.
Yeah, but you got to be real quick when you get the truck out, it'll start.
Okay.
It starts.
On the opener?
You'll have it open all the way, and then it'll slowly drift one panel back down if you're not careful.
With it hooked up to the opener?
Yeah.
$15 million schools all over the valley, and none of the doors shut, so.
I don't know if I think that motor's starting to rewind. But okay. It'd be nice if we could put electronic door openers on them.
Well, we'll see what we can do as we go along here, but I'll have them come look at them. Got that, Jeff?
Got it.
Okay. I'll save the rest for old business and new business.
Okay.
I do need to back up you guys. I apologize. As soon as Sean or Wes is done.
I'm done with mine.
I've got a guy what's got 60 hours of community service. What needs to do is community service. It sounds like he'll paint the office, kitchen, bathrooms, front office for us. Is that okay with the board?
Yeah, as long as you got somebody here that can
supervise him.
Yeah.
And then I guess this question's for Wes and Julie. What do you want to do? Because we're going to move all of our stuff out to the bay. Is it okay if all your stuff goes to the bay?
Let's move this stuff back for now.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you got to move it to...
Okay.
Yeah. This will be locked. You won't have any reason to unlock it, right?
No.
Okay, you can move it fully loaded.
Yes.
Okay.
But we're going to probably strip this sometime in the next couple of weeks. And hopefully have it back by the next board meeting. But if not, I guess we'll need a board meeting in the bay.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
And so we'll be charging paint probably at a bunch of lumber, you guys.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
You guys already voted on it.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
So he's going to do the kitchen.
Get back out now.
Here.
Everything but the bay will get repainted.
Okay.
Bathrooms, everything.
Okay. Truck repairs.
All right.
Yeah, oil change, Rescue, Villa Grove, and Bonanza.
Rescue and Villa Grove is done. Bonanza is not done yet. Engine 1 is done. We got it done this week. On engine 1, on the turbo, there's a 5-inch turbo boot. I ordered a turbo boot for it. The way that cab comes down on that truck, that you got a turbo boot and then a copper pipe. Or not copper, but aluminum pipe that runs up. That pipe's been smashed several times when that cab settles. We smashed it again the other day and put a hole in it, so we got it fixed back up. But I've got a boot coming for that truck, so it'll be showing up. We went ahead and taped the cut on it and got it where it's worthy to run, but I've got a boot coming for it. And possibly...
Is that on the intake?
on the intake.
The air intake, yeah,
from the air cleaner.
And then I also am checking on a new elbow boot, what comes out of there, because that's got about three patches in it, and now it's going to have a fourth one. So evidently that's been a common problem with it.
Okay.
So we've got that. We're going to have to make a decision pretty rapidly on tender 7 of what we want to do with that truck. It's back to leaking more water than what it'll hold. So we've welded it. We've tarred it.
Tender 7 or tender 77?
77 is good. Tender 7. We got it parked in the middle bay because it's just seeping water out of it.
Well, you could have been Villa Grove.
So
can we find a tank at a decent price?
I don't know if we want to re-tank it, or do we want to start looking at a... I don't know if a tank's going to cost you as much as a different truck.
Well, and I'm going to be totally bluntly honest about it. That truck was scheduled to be decommissioned when 77 got here. And that hasn't happened because the guys decided they liked it too much.
I wish you guys would put another tank on, my opinion.
But it is how old?
That's the yellow
it's a
truck.
78.
Yep. Still runs, though.
Yeah, I mean.
So.
It runs good still, but the tank's getting cancered pretty bad.
What size is the tank?
4,000. It's 3,750 gallons.
Let's find a tank.
And yeah, we can search for a tank.
Well, I think the best way to go about it is because that truck was made at Denver Truck, and they still make the same tanks. So it would be a matter of then getting it epoxied and painted and done.
So I know in the district we probably need to keep that 4,000-gallon truck because when we hit structure fires, we don't have...
Especially this year.
We don't keep enough tenders
don't
anyhow.
Don't say that.
So, but it's leaking bad. I don't know.
Where is it leaking at?
Along that main seam right where it bolts in again. I know Richard took it down and had a bunch of welding done on it. JT Calvin did a bunch of welding on it. I've tarred it, flex sealed it.
It didn't help when Calvin jumped it, I'm sorry.
No, and what happened the other day with it is we went down a real rough driveway at good speeds, not.
Who was driving it?
Haley.
Okay.
So.
Why'd you look at me?
So, I mean, but it was a...
It was your driveway.
It was a rough, it's a rough driveway. I mean, it was plenty rough, and it shook the rust loose in it again.
Yeah.
By my old driveway.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's search for
tanks.
Well,
the rest of the truck's good shape, isn't it?
Since we rebuilt the motor in it, it's in real good shape. We just did that less than 500 miles ago. Put injectors
in
it.
Let's put a tank on it.
Okay, let me start looking for a tank.
You good with that, Jeff?
I did.
You good with that, looking for a tank?
Measure it out.
Say that again.
You good with us looking for a tank?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything,
all right.
Anything else, Kendall?
Yes. The last time I was up, this happened a couple times. And I don't know if on Crestone's truck, we've got to check those hubs on that engine. We're going to knock that front end out of it. So I don't know if they're putting it in or what they're doing. When they're putting them in and stuff, they're not getting them out.
Engine, which one?
Five.
The locking hubs?
Yeah.
They lock in
on them? Maybe you guys are wanting to leave them in. I don't know.
I don't know that truck's been out in the snow this year, so I don't know.
I just happened to notice it the other day.
Being locked in.
I don't know. But on that, there was something else on something. I don't remember what it was now the other day. We were talking about something when we was always talking about 11, but that's not. I think that's it on truck repairs.
So let's go back to tender 5. If I find a tank,
seven,
if I find a tank, do you want me to talk to him about installing it, painting it, the whole nine yards?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because these guys are going to have their hands full pretty quick with rescue.
Yeah, we're not going to have time.
I think it'd be better to let somebody else do it because we're not qualified to do it. None of us are.
Yeah, so.
Well, none of us have got time either. Yeah. Take them to the truck and have them put it on.
Paint it red to match the rest of them.
Oh God, covering that.
Nobody will know what's coming.
Paint the tank red and leave the rest of it yellow.
There you go.
Or whatever color it is, green. Make it match.
That's all I got. That's all I got, you guys.
Okay.
Crestone building update.
A lot of things have happened the last month. Alcon is coming this week to finish the doors, we should be able to move in the next week or so into the building. What's left is some paint, the skin on the bathroom, some electrical.
So Moffitt and Crestone are still having a race.
Yeah, the race is still on, but we're making progress.
The race is on.
Okay. Anything else on that one? Doors, paint, bathroom, electrical.
Any word of the blocks for the Crestone building?
Well, that's yep. Next. That's down here, a little bit lower.
Oh, that's got its own line.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Is that good?
It's good.
Okay, brush truck in Villa Grove update. It is in service, fully. Waiting on the chevron striping and our other toolbox.
And a front bumper.
Any news on that, Kendall?
Front bumper, he checked it last week because we're waiting on one, too. They said that they are being built, so they have to put those models into the productivity. So
okay.
There's hope there to get one in the near, because he's got them all. He's got the order form's been placed. They just haven't ever showed up on the computer that they was manufacturing them. But his for a work truck, and this work one came up that they are being manufactured now.
Do you guys want me to leave that on the list still?
Yes.
Yes.
It's done.
Okay, office addition for Moffitt.
We're planning on working on it Thursday, putting the rest of the plywood up, and then I'm going to order some more for the side rails and the stairs and stuff like that. So
I have some pictures on my phone if you guys want to see them after the meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's coming along.
Sure. Do we know when that other cabinet's coming in? Does it shift or anything?
They said it's... been through welding and it was in the shop getting put together, so I
haven't paid for it, so I don't know when it's coming.
Last week I called him. Yeah. Okay. Jersey blocks for the Crestone station.
Talking to the guys up there the other day, we're going to shoot for May 1st to deliver them and set them. They's worried where we were stacking them. But if we brought them in and stacked them now, that they would tip over as the frost left the ground. So, I don't know what you...
Are they done?
They're building them every day now because the guys are slowed down on...
They're not going to sell them on us, no. Are they?
They set some aside?
Yeah, we've got our names on them. They're manufacturing them.
And that was how many of them?
Eight
of them?
Ten footers?
8 footers.
Or 8 footers. 8 footers.
I was going to say, 10, they keep getting bigger.
Yep, 8 eights.
So do I.
You guys want them sooner, we can get them over there sooner, but they're worried that if you start stacking them with the ground, unthawing is that stuff.
They ain't going nowhere.
Are they paid for?
Not up there.
They'll bill us when they deliver.
Not up there.
Is
so that able to be dug
they gonna
put
say?
In?
Those dudes plan on bringing us something to unload
and
set at the same time right off that truck.
Okay. So those will be billed when They deliver. Okay.
When they deliver, somebody will have to be there and show them set up time and stuff like set where they want them set and everything like that.
They get their truck in that alley?
I don't. I think they're going to bring. They said they'd bring something to set.
They got a boom truck or?
I imagine what they're going to do is probably send the mechanic home with the big boom truck that day.
Okay.
So. I'll need to get material to bed them.
Where are you going to get materials?
Call Cooley, I guess. See if they'll donate some road base to put under them or something.
I think they've given us a pretty good deal on delivery, but charges for the last road base.
Yeah. And
I can have them move it up if you guys want it. But when I was talking to him about 2 weeks ago, we're still pretty cold.
Yeah.
I would say if we can move up to the end of March, 1st of April, that would be ideal. Obviously, depending on weather, if Craig's ready.
You got snow around outside? No,
there's no snow.
How much road base you going to need?
We still have a little bit up that way.
Well, that's what they're worried about. They want to come over with them. And then all.
How 2 yards?
I don't know. Because they're going to haul them back and pay freight twice.
Right? Tandem, well, that's all they got.
First part of May.
They usually do that.
If
like
it comes and snows
tons,
in March, like it might. But
at 10 yards, it's like 3,000 pounds a yard.
Right. That's true.
You're going to pay freight twice, two ways.
So, you're down 30,000.
Hey, Wes?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to lose you for about 10 minutes here, and then I'll jump right back on.
Not a problem. Be gone.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, it's like 10 yards.
Yeah, the reason I said, I should have called you guys, I guess, but the reason I said 1st of May is because they bring them, you can't set them, you're going to pay freight going back and coming back.
Well, if they can't set them, they can set them off there and leave them, right?
You got to get somebody to come set them. I know, I'm not saying nothing bad about Craig's backhoe, but our big case, Chance brought a couple of ones home, and we was going to put them in the creek. No.
Now, you're wrong. I moved them with that.
Yeah.
F310.
You know those new tires on that backhoe? That tires on that backhoe was sitting on the rims.
Really? You got to put air in
them. They would pour them full. So not saying nothing about your back, okay? But.
Well, I think March 1st is probably a little too soon. Just because I have to open the earth and then they have to bring him. And we've already had a couple of dates where they've said they're going to bring him and they haven't brought them. So. I mean, I want to make sure that those are all manufactured and sitting ready to come before I start digging up and creating a hazard for the public.
We want to have the gravel in there, too, so.
Yeah.
So, let's see if we can get some gravel in by next month, and if we need to move it up from there,
April.
We can. But we'll stay with May 1st until we decide where we're at. We'll get the gravel. We know they're coming.
I was thinking we'd probably be out of the snow by May 1st, where our luck would get it scheduled and it snows.
Whatever it takes to get some snow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we put a line F May on 1st. Old business? And let's put the rescue truck's watch on there.
Oh, yeah, I'll sort out. Sorry. Rescue truck 7?
We can just we can just do it today, but then we can keep it on there until we're done.
I will get it better.
So at this point, the truck is still scheduled for February 27th. Haven't heard anything different. Well, I will be going over again this week and confirming that more, but I still think we're going to be spending our $70,000, Richard, by about the 27th of this
No, that's fine.
So, yeah, we'll make sure we. So it's that's where we're at, and then you guys will be ready to.
We're gonna start transferring quick as we can get it here.
That said, we are probably gonna take that truck over to ACA if they're available to use their big lifts and stuff to get that bed pulled off and the new one put on. It shouldn't be that difficult.
We're either going to do that or they're going to bring two of their boom trucks over here. And Chance is going to help us swap them.
Chance and his, you know, he's going to help get things done. So
I'd like to get some wrap to at least wrap the front of the box before it goes on.
I was going to just rattle can the front of it red, but.
Hey. Rattle can on a new truck?
The box ain't new.
No, but it's going to look new. Wrap's not that bad to put on the front, is it?
We have wrap still.
We have enough?
Do you have enough wrap?
How much is it? I mean, how much?
Has it got a matching color?
I don't know what color the truck is. But
red.
What color is yours?
Flame red.
If it's the same as the Rescue, then yeah, we should have enough wrap to do the front of the boxes or whatever. We have quite a bit left.
Look that with Kendall before tonight.
Okay.
And if you need some more, let me know. We'll get some more in.
I'm pretty sure we have enough.
Yeah, but it needs to match somewhat. That would look really.
It's the color of the Rescue.
It'd be more of the color. Probably more of the color of you guys' new.
Well, that's gonna be a different color, red.
Yeah, new.
Between the Ford and Ram's gonna be a different color, red.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't make that wrap in too many different colors. Mm-hmm. So it'll be the color of the Rescue. Because that's what we could get. Oh.
Okay. At
this point, I'll drive it red and white.
Yeah.
If you've drove this Rescue lately,
we can paint some yellow and green stripes on it for you.
We'll put a stripe of blue. We'll just be
yellow.
Okay.
This Rescue is about to blow, you guys. We're trying to babe it, but I'm not guaranteeing nothing.
Are we ready for new business?
Yes.
Last call.
New business. First line item was the chief's share time sheets from all stations, and I think we've all looked at them. So that's something we're going to just start doing February of every new year. Just to look at the hours and training hours and activity of active members. So, does anybody have any comments on those?
I got two items of new business. You ready for me?
I got a couple right quick. I'm going to hand those to Bill. I gave the guys a paper to each one of the departments, and it's just a letter stating these guys are going to tell us they're going to go in inactive status. They're going to sign this letter. And
incoming call. Incoming call.
Are you back?
I'm back. I'm in Colorado, so I should have service for a while now.
Okay. So I'm just telling these guys, I've got a new form. It's called an inactive status. So if their guys, one of their firefighters goes inactive, whatever that's for, they can just fill it out to the chief. It goes in their file. That they're inactive, and when they return to active duty, they have to re-sign it, and then if it's been too long, they have to go get drug tested. So,
okay,
that's I've been putting this together since last year, and I finally remembered where I put it and decided it's time to bring it in. So we've got a couple of guys in Sawatch that are probably going to go inactive for a little while. One's going to drug test tomorrow morning, but they're working down in
Wednesday morning.
Yeah, Wednesday morning, but they're working out in Oklahoma or somewhere, so they're not going to be available for training, etc. Anyway, just quickly wanted to put that out there.
Perfect.
Second item of new business, you guys all got your notifications that drug testing is Thursday. So if
I've been studying.
Yeah,
I can almost hit that glass.
I've been drinking water, so I think we're both safe.
Yeah, Bill, no coffee, Bill. Yeah, it'll be right here at the station, so we'll just you know, go from there. But that includes board members, myself. You know, the board when they wrote the policy said, hey, we're not any better than the firefighters, so we will test a lot right along with them. So
you got to do two, Jeff.
Absolutely.
So Jeff he's hurrying back, but he's drinking water on the way, and he probably tests bad for some bad water somewhere, but who knows?
New Mexico,
wherever.
Did you drink anything in New Mexico?
So, you guys were well aware of the wildland urban interface codes and the conversations we're having. I'm having a lot of conversations with the county and with the FPC. Their rules specifically state that the law says that we must. The county says, oh, it's an unfunded mandate. You don't have to do that. But you probably better get your attorney to look at it. So I'm going to give you I think there's 10 of them. So this is just some stuff on the wildfire buoy code and some questions that were done. Says, is this mandatory? That's the first question. This was put out by the Headwaters Economics Program, and they've been really good about kind of muddling through this and saying, hey, you can do this, you can't do this. This is how you can enforce it. This is what if you enforce it this way, then you're going to be stuck enforcing it that way. So I just wanted to give this to you so you guys could look at it. And then I wanted to ask for your permission to talk to the attorney about the unfunded mandate stuff here and whether that is a reality or not. You know, if this is really considered an unfunded mandate or...
Look at this before the next meeting, or
yes, but I would ask you guys for permission. Pass one down to the other guy. I would ask you guys for your permission to. I just there's an extra one.
Okay, to, can I put it in Jeff?
Yeah, there's one for Jeff. That's why. I would ask for your permission. Sorry about that, Jeff. I covered you up. There's an extra one if somebody wants to read it. I would ask for your permission to. Visit with Alex, our attorney, to get his take on this unfunded mandate stuff and where he thinks we are with this. If we're mandated to do it, then we have to adopt this by April. Yeah, which is coming up in 2 months. April 1st is our adoption date. And then we will have to be implementing enforcement by July 1st. Now, that could be self-enforcement, you know, them certifying that they're going to do it this way.
I don't have a problem talking to the attorney on it.
And I know it's going to cost some money. Just for your information, I printed out some paperwork that the Headwaters kind of put together for us that makes it easier. So this is something we could give the homeowner. There's a couple of extras there. We could give the homeowner if we do this, that explains to them what, you know, what the code's going to do. If you're in a zone, you're going to have to install class A rated roofing, on it, such as asphalt shingles or metal panels. You have to be fire resistive. You can't use wood shakes anymore, etc. Exterior walls have to be use non-combustible siding, such as fiber cement cladding. metal.
Wes, what line item would the budget, with the monies it's going to cost us come out of?
Professional services.
You think there'll be enough in there to cover it?
I think so.
The attorney, yeah.
The attorney, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, as far as when we do the other part, I don't know. We may have to make an adjustment, and whenever somebody comes in for a building permit, we may ask the county to mail those out or hand them to them. County's kind of balking at that right now because of the unfunded mandate stuff. They don't want to do it, so they don't want us to do it because they don't want to do it. And
they're going to have to, aren't they?
They're saying, hey, it's unfunded mandate. We're not going to do it unless you guys do it. And Gunnison County's already doing it. Gunnison Fire's already doing it. Colorado Springs even does it with the self-certification. So
kind of makes sense just to do it, and that way that's one less thing we got to worry about. Moving forward.
But I want to get the ducks in line so that when you guys make your decision next month, we have that, you know, solid background on from the attorney.
I think you better go talk to him.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think you should talk to him.
Okay, so I'll talk to the attorney. That's why I said I'm probably going to need a visit over there anyway.
And how we should do it.
So, okay.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Do we need a motion for that? Talk to them?
Just if you just give me direction, I'll just, you know it's coming. I'm good.
Go talk to her.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
That's a direction motion.
Yeah.
That's a directive.
Directive. Okay. Kendall had a couple things quick.
Here you go.
On new business.
Okay, we took the day and moved our extractor down from upstairs and put it by our sink in the bay here. I would like to know if you guys would be okay if I get JT's brother, he's a certified plumber, brother-in-law, to come tie in some drains from that sink over so we can put our bunker gear, extractor, and a wash machine side by side and hit that main set of drains.
They're no longer up here.
And then I need to have him cap these lines down here where it goes upstairs so we no longer have water upstairs. So there's no need to repaint this office and do all that and still have water upstairs to create the same problem.
Yeah, it's fine.
Just have whatever it takes to get it tied in.
Motion.
Yeah, motion.
Do it.
Motion to
move water lines.
Yeah, cap water lines and hook up the extractor and a washing machine.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, the other thing I have on new business, I talked to Wes a little bit about it. I talked to David Fries as emergency manager, and Bill is, we have two sections of brush pasture out on Chance Baker's place, and he's wanting to burn, he's doing a program with NRCS to burn off a bunch of that ground out there. He said he'd do a donation to the departments or to the 4th of July fund, something like that. I talked to David Fries, Bill. I think that we can turn that into a good district training here in about 2 weeks. We'd like to do it here pretty sooner than later. I think we could turn it into a good district training. Me and Bill and David and George would probably get together. We'd do a tabletop the night before of the map, have a map of what we're going to do. We're going to cut some line, do it organized and run it like an actual forest fire.
Hey, Wes, I can't hear him very good.
All right, sorry,
because
Jeff.
Because you're old and can't hear.
So Chance has got some programming. We're going to burn off a big chunk of the Perkins place. And he said he'd make a donation and stuff. I was talking to Bill and David Fries about it, doing a district-wide wildland training because we're needing some wildland training. And we'd go in there and cut some line and do some back burns and weather reporting and just turn it into a mock drill of a forest fire, if that's okay with the board.
Yeah.
Good to me.
I'm okay with it. I because they're going to use district trucks and district equipment to go out here and do that, and it's not just burn a ditch, that it's, you know, it's going to be a large burn.
So, Wes, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So, he talked to David Freeze and a bunch of other people about it. Did he talk to you about it?
He did talk to me about it first.
Okay.
And I advised him to talk to these other chiefs and get his ducks in line and come to the board tonight.
Okay.
So, yes, he did.
Okay.
Just a quick question, because I might be on this bandwagon too. Is this something that is good with bylaws on private property moving forward?
Yeah, the bylaws don't direct us against that.
Okay.
So, you know, that's...
Because I have huge cottonwood crap that we can go train on.
I have all kinds of notes in here and for training, and I just we kind of, that's up to the station captains or... And the chiefs how to manage to get that done.
Just so wanted to check.
Mainly, it's a service to the community. But if we use it as a training, then we can take all our trucks out there and be covered.
Right.
Over insurance and everything like that.
How many acres is it?
Can you say so?
We're going to try to shoot for about 320 acres. For
now, go.
Well,
that's. Because one person benefiting.
We're going to bring a dozer in and cut a back line a little bit. Then we can do a back end.
I was just making sure we're covered.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and we've done it before. It's just because this is fairly large, it's not just burning a ditch.
Right.
They used to do it for the town of Sawatch, but we don't do that anymore because they don't like to play nice with us. Now they don't even have hydrants.
Do we need a motion for this, this thing? For this
I would like to see you guys make that motion.
I'll make a motion to approve that.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Is that all you got, Kendall?
Yes, we're going. If it works with the chiefs and stuff, and we can get it pulled off. Let me look at the calendar here real quick. We're thinking the Saturday of the 14th of March.
Oh, March.
Before we get into the windy season and before...
We just had something. That
was the 14th of March.
That was their fundraiser.
Oh, the fundraiser.
What? Sorry, March 14th?
March 14th. Okay.
That's Chris Stone's fundraiser.
Craig, I don't see any reason why we couldn't do both that day. Huh? What do you think?
We could potentially reschedule our event for another day if you would allow us to change the date, be flexible on the date.
Well, I think we got to be flexible on the 14th date, too.
Well, it's my birthday. Can I get a cake or a party or anything?
You got 360.
Dude, you get to roll up and clean all the dirty hose.
Our date will be whether.
If we get up and we're red flag warning, there's 40 mile an hour winds projected for that day, it's going to probably be canceled and moved to another day.
Lately, there's not been a lot of red flag. In fact, last year, there was hardly any red flag warning days.
How about Friday the 13th?
What's that?
That'd probably be your tabletop.
The 13th, we'd probably do an hour or two tabletop in the evening so everybody knows the plan. If it's not going to work with Craig, I can shoot for the 21st for our deal.
We definitely want to be involved.
Bill says 21st would be better for him.
Okay.
You're already set for the 14th. What does Villa Grove look like for the 21st?
21st better for me.
Better. All right, let's shoot for the 21st with all the chiefs if that's okay.
So change the motion to the 21st.
The 20th we'll meet. I'll send a group check out.
With leeway.
Shoot for it. Try for it. Buddy.
If it's looking good for the 21st and the 20th, we'll have a tabletop here. Well, it'll have a map up on the TV so everybody has an idea of what we're...
And the motion says dependent on agreeable weather.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Is it Mesa or what's out there to learn?
6.5 foot tall sagebrush and grass.
Don't have any sage grass out there, do you? Because if you want to come up to my house, that one ain't going to happen.
No. If they do, they better grow some of these quick.
They came to me and said, hey, you might have a sage grouse here. Can you mow your lands from the inside out? Yeah, dude.
I feel like it'll be a good training for everybody.
Yeah?
Cool. Okay. All right. Let's move on.
Next. New business? Yeah.
I don't have any more new business.
Well, we have the...
my presentation.
Oh, yeah.
Craig's presentation for a request for wildfire programs.
That's not my new business.
Did everyone get a copy in their folder of this?
I do have an extra one if somebody needs one.
I do.
Anybody
else want one?
You need one
more?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear us, Jeff?
Go ahead.
Can you hear us?
I can't hear you.
Okay, so this has come up in the meeting before when we had a discussion with DFPC getting some information in preparation for this request. So what this is a certified training program and cooperation with DFPC's cooperation system. So,
hey, hold up a little closer to your mouth, please.
It's like 4 inches. Is that better?
No, David has never heard me either.
Okay, so, you know, us training on wildfire is always great, but having certifications is even better. It's going to help us not only with recruitment, but potentially for grants in the future. We've had several conversations about getting a fire truck from DFPC and Forest Service. So something like having certified members in our district will help, or potentially could help us get an additional wildland truck from those entities. So Crestone is requesting from the district to allow us to start this program, this wildland wildfire certification program. Basically, we are going to commit to the district to start this program, follow up with firefighters to get them certified in wildfire, have a red card system where firefighters then can actively fight fire after our time period with the district is ended, and they can go on to work with DFPC and state and potentially go out on national wildfires. It's going to not only bring the qualifications and have people certified, but get the experience that we're not getting in our area that will help us to fight wildfires in our area. It'll bring money to people, and it potentially will help us with recruitment and getting more volunteers as well as MARS grant money. Daniel Johnson here, who has decades of fire experience in the wildfire industry, is going to explain all this to you guys. And then the part where it works with DFPC, Matt Nolte has said that he will come to the district board meeting and answer any questions you guys might have of what this would actually take and what would be involved in the district being in this program. So I'm going to hand you off
to Daniel is going to complete this.
Can I be somewhere where I can actually see you guys?
Yeah.
How about here? Okay. I'm Daniel Johnson. I've been fighting wildfires for 52 years. That's what I do. I'm not a structure firefighter. I didn't come on to Crestone to do structure fire. I'm getting old. I just turned 72. It's time to pass the torch on, or that nozzle on, to the next folks that are coming up. We need more young people, mostly. I mean, if you look around this table and you look around who you got volunteering, it's us old folks that are still holding this thing together. And we need to backfill. We need to start training people that are going to come up behind us. So we know...
Hey, Wes?
Yeah.
I can't hear him, so whenever he gets done giving his spiel, will you kind of just... tell me on the phone what he's asking for, what he's trying to accomplish
here. Yeah, he's holding it right up to his mouth, so I don't know what's going on.
I think if you take it off Bluetooth and put it on speaker.
Okay, I'm going to take it off of Bluetooth right quick. Let me go.
Test, because right now it's on speaker and then just the microphone as if you're holding it to your ear.
Okay, now let's try it.
Testing. Testing, you got me?
Got you.
Okay, so...
thanks, Craig.
So I was a hotshot firefighter. I've been on engines. I've taken out hand crews. Right now, I'm mostly doing training, and I'm doing safety officer because I'm getting a little old to be digging line all day. But I do things like what you were just talking about, doing large burns, planning, doing black line, doing trainings. But I don't want to come in here and tell you guys. I'm just telling you what I want to do. If you want to do this and you see what's happening, Craig and the Crestone Fire Department want this training. They want to learn how to go out on major fires nationally, make some money, get that training, but they can't go out there and do that until they build qualifications. So we have to start with task books. Taking the classes, we get task books. Task book can take you a whole year to get into a position where you've done everything in that task book. Now, I know that there's some question about, hey, if your folks are going out and fighting wildfires, well, who's here? Right now, we got six people. We almost had seven, but we just lost one tonight. So we don't have a fire department that can go out and handle a wildfire. And I don't know your guys' quals. I don't know what you guys do. You go out and put the wet stuff on the hot stuff, and it works pretty good when you're working in grass, but we know we're going to get some huge fires around here, and we got people building all over these hills now. I was running the FireWise program for the county for the last 19 years. We didn't get funded this past year because they didn't pass the farm bill. There was no money for grants. So I went to these guys and said, hey, I helped the Baca build their wildland program. They bought a new Type 6 engine off of what they did in the last 2 years by sending out one of their engines with their guys on it. We don't have an engine that could go out on a fire. We're not asking to send any apparatus out. There's nothing that's sitting in our bay right now that would be acceptable on a wildfire. Big wildfire, because they check you when you're coming in and they go through your hole. It's not new enough. It's not set up to be a wildland engine or attack vehicle. So I'm working right now for Chaffee County. I'm their safety officer and their wildland trainer. And I offered those kind of services volunteer to here. I would get nothing out of this. I'm just trying to help them set up their program. And this program obviously is on your level. It's not theirs. They're not an entity. They're not a municipality. They can't just say, hey, we're going to go do this. You guys are the family that we're all part of here. And we need your permission. And it has to be open to all your guys, too, so that you can come out and get on a wildland engine and go out on a large wildfire and see what the ICS system is on that. It's amazing when you bring 1,000 or 2,000 people together in one night, you build a whole city, and you have a main street that you've got your ICs, and you've got your safeties, and you've got your weather, and you've got your plans, and learn all this stuff, because those are the people who are going to come here and fight those big fires that you're going to be getting. They're coming. There's going to be a big fire here. If you noticed on page 3, I listed fires that have been within 50 miles of Crestone just since the year 2000. All of those right there. And then down here, you got the Hayman Fire, the Missionary Ridge. These are all since 2000. And we're talking about up to 500,000 acres. If you catch that thing small, it never gets to 500,000 acres. You've got to have people that are cooperators, that cooperate with each other like you folks do. I mean, we feel like Crestone, we're way over there. We don't get to work with you guys and train with you guys enough. And this is what I do. I do wildland. And I'm offering to step in here and help you guys get a system going. Now, if we just get qualifications, if we get red cards, that means that we can go out on somebody else's truck, not on a truck from this area. Crestone has, Baca has engines that go out. Chafee has engines that go out. I work for Chafee right now. Last year, we made $500,000 by sending out two engines over the summer with different people rotating on. But they have, 50 volunteers. So we can do that there. Here, we've got 6 people. We can't do that. But if we could rotate people onto going out on an engine and getting this kind of training, it's getting qualifications, it's getting wildfire experience by being there in the wildfire experience. The people can make money, enough money. Right now, Dewey, who you just said couldn't be here, but that was a fluke because she's not living in the right district. And I totally understand why you said that. But she's going out right now with Firetracks, which is a contractor out of the Wet Mountain Valley. She went out on her first big fire this year. She came back with $8,000 for 2 weeks. And she knows how to fight fire. She knows what her position is in the ICS system, so that if she comes over here and you guys got a big fire going, she can jump in there and with us, any of us, are going to work. That's what we want to learn, that we can jump in there with people we've never worked with before and know how we fit into this and what we're doing, and be able to work with aircraft and be able to do backfiring and be able to make fire line that is going to hold. So what we're asking from you is just permission to look into setting up a cooperator program for this district. And we would be working with Matt Nolting. I've already talked to David Fries. I've already talked to Adam Moore at the state, and they all think it's a really good thing to have people that are really trained in wildfire that can get together and catch something while it smalls. So we just want permission to set up a system. We're already going to have task books. We're going to make our people go through and get all of the different working with aircraft, working with pumps, working with chainsaws, and get their quals, whether we can be part of this system or not. These guys are going to go out and do this somewhere. We would like it to be out of Crestone, because for the most part, these people, a lot of us cannot make a living there. Most of the people that we have volunteering on our fire department work out of the county because they can't make a living here. If they can make a living by going out on wildfires, then they can stay here and be available when that call comes. So we just might need a little more training funds if you guys agree to do this. This is not going to cost anything from you folks. When we go out, if somebody goes out, I wouldn't be going out. I'm already working for somebody else. You can only have one red card. If these folks have red card and they're able to go out and Chafee says, hey, we got an empty seat, we can take Alder. If he wants to go, he can go out for 2 weeks. When they come back, that check is going to come to, we're going to put in our time. It actually need pretty much a PhD to do the time, but there's a form we can teach people how to do. They come back, you wouldn't have any work that you have to do for us except okay your accountant to take the money that's coming in from the incident that we worked on and pay it to the guys who are out on it. And there is money to cover that cost for your accountant if they're even looking at it. There's 3.33% of whatever we make to help us put in the time and to cover costs. We would still be on the the insurance and the workman's comp that we have here, but if anything happened out on an incident, the incident would reimburse you for whatever that cost would be. They take care of everything. Once they order you on a resource order, you're theirs, and you're their responsibility from the time you leave until the time you come back. So we might want a little more training funds, but I guess the training funds don't all get used every year. We have certain hierarchical pattern that the people can follow. So if somebody has been, like you've been working for how many years?
In fire,
yeah,
total?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, 10, 12?
10 or 12
like
years. He doesn't have any quals.
No, 14, I guess.
He doesn't
well,
have
I
any quals in the wildland.
That was one of the, yeah.
But he has taken the courses. It's just he has to get the task book. He has somebody like myself. I'm a Type 2 safety officer and a division supervisor that can sign him off on what he needs to do when he goes out to make sure he knows how to do all that. So we have it set up just well with Matt Nolting and everything that if you folks approve it, we're going to sit down with them. He's going to come and he's going to answer all your questions, whatever you have a question about, and see if some of your folks want to get in on this too, whether they want to get qualifications to be professional firefighters. I know a lot of you folks are busy. You're talking about heifers right now. I mean, you're too busy. You're not going to go out on these fires, but maybe some of these younger guys would like to get that training. And as I said, we're not sending any engines out of state. And I can answer your questions. I'd also like to know, are you already part of the CMAS program?
No.
Okay. If everybody doesn't know what that is, it's the Colorado Mutual Aid. And if you've got the qualifications and you've got the engines, you go on a local fire here, you can get reimbursed. If the fire's big and it's taken over by a larger jurisdiction, the feds or the state, then you can get paid. And you get paid really good. You can make, on your engine, you can make $25,000 for 2 weeks. Just for sending it on a fire that you might already be doing. Anyway, I'll bring it to you folks.
Put me on speaker, would you?
You are on speaker, so
okay, so a couple questions.
Nope.
Yep,
we just
lost
you.
He's over there.
Go ahead.
That was a hang up.
Oh, I did hang up.
Come back.
Incoming call. Incoming call. Incoming call.
Hey, Jeff, sorry I hung up on you.
Okay, so if I'm hearing him right, what he's wanting to do is use our insurance and use the basically using the district's insurance and the district secretary and our payroll stuff for his people to go out and make money for themselves. We will get 3.33% of whatever they earn. And he's wanting us to do all the, pay for all the training for them to go do that? Is that what I'm hearing?
I'll give it back to him.
This doesn't work here, right?
Yeah, he needs
to talk. I'll talk to the speaker.
You got
me now? Wes, did he talk to you about this at all?
No. Daniel did not talk to me about this.
We sent in a proposal that we are introducing tonight. And Wes was aware that we were going to bring this proposal.
So yes, if that's the case, Daniel did send a proposal. Craig sent it. So that's the one you have. I sent it to you. All the board has it.
Is that what I'm hearing, though? He's wanting the district to fund six guys from the Crestone Fire Department to leave the district and go source their own income, basically.
Negative.
Come back, and then the district writes them their check. We take 3.33%, and I'm not. What's the benefit to the district?
I'm gonna hand it back to Daniel, but I'm gonna put it on the different speaker so he can talk to you. So we gotta shuffle between the big speaker everybody can hear and the speaker that he could talk to you on. Okay.
Okay, I got you back, Jeff. Yes, I heard what you said, and I can see how you came to that conclusion, but no, that is not what I'm asking at all. I'm saying we are already on your insurance as volunteers. We are already on workman's comp. If we extend the workman's comp and the insurance as we go out, or I'm not saying myself, but if somebody goes out on a fire, that gets totally reimbursed by the incident. You don't pay anything more. There's no cost at all. And what are the benefits? The benefits are that you're getting training, and all of our people are getting training and tactics and strategies. We're building our qualifications for everybody, and this is not just for us. It's because we're in this district that we have to bring it to you. We're not a municipality. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm hearing that, but I'm also hearing the district's got to front the money.
No.
Nope. But then we get refunded. Am I hearing that one right?
We're already on your workman's comp and your insurance. If we go out on it, then you get reimbursed for that. We're already on that. There's no charge for anything that we're suggesting to the district.
So you are on it whenever you're on tolls for us. Is that correct? Uh-huh. Yeah. If you stub your toe and something happens on another job, you come back on our work comp insurance.
When you're out.
Stuff to make money. It's only when you're on a call for us. Personal. Is that correct?
I don't know.
That's correct. If they were gonna, if they're gonna go out on a call, we'd have to extend that.
We can't do this.
That workman's comp, to know that they're going out on a call through the district, whether that's for training or qualifications or whatever, there would be additional fees for that. And the district, we wind up paying those unless we could find out how to get them reimbursed.
You are.
The other issue I have, and nobody sees this elephant in the room, is when you start writing checks to people, bringing money through the district, then you wind up with an IRS issue.
Well, I was going there next.
And I saw Pagosa Springs have to go from a volunteer department to a combination department for just that reason.
South Fork did have to do the same thing.
So
South Fork bought 3 new engines off of sending their.
Yeah, but they had to go to a combination department. And you know that's an issue.
Well, they became a municipality to do that.
They are a municipality through the city.
Yeah. Can I add to this? So currently there's no members in Crestone that have any intention of going out on national wildfire calls. What we do have interest in is having certifications so that we're certified. In case in the future we may, or if we get volunteers, which this could help bring volunteers to the entire district with this program. So we're really just starting a program that trains and gives firefighters certifications so that if they want to go out, they can. Other districts, and this is something we can do also, make an agreement to people if they do go out, that they're not paid until the fire pays the district the money and then they get reimbursed. So there's precedence on how districts are not putting out any money in advance. They're only waiting to receive funds from a fire. And then the firefighters get reimbursed. So this is We're not asking the district to put money out in advance of receiving money from a fire. We're only asking to start this program, which starts certifications for wildfire fighters, which will increase Crestone's and the district's certifications for wildfires, increasing our abilities and our standing with the state and DFPC that we are certified to fight wildfires.
Currently through the ICS program, because any one of us can get on at any time and take the ICS tests and get the certifications that he was talking to me about.
FCNWCG.
Sure. So this program makes it establishes us as responsible for helping people get these certifications, keep these certifications. And that's what we're asking to do. The fundamentals of funding and all that would come from Matt to give you those exact information, but that's not what we're really asking for. We don't have anyone that plans to go out on wildfire in our department right now. We don't have any intentions of sending any vehicles out, but there are opportunities for our district to make funding. Like last year, the BACA was paid to drive their trucks around Northern Swatch County for watching out for potential wildfires, and they made money on that. So the district could make funds just by driving around our own area. But there's no out of pocket expenses. If someone did in the future go out on a fire, there's money that covers the insurance, that covers the paperwork and accounting.
I'd like to make one comment if I can.
Mm-hmm. Say who you are.
This is Alder Lakish. I'm assistant chief in Crestone.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm hearing, and I think that a lot of this goes back to, you know, over the last number of years, somewhat mistaken impression that this might lead to district equipment going out of the region, which we need. And we've created this as a program, essentially it's a training program, just like you're talking about. You can take that ICS class, right? You can get that certification, but that certification doesn't have any meaning unless you have a red card issuing jurisdiction. And so what we're actually asking for is just that Swatch Fire District, Northern Swatch Fire District, become an issuing agency. And as far as I understand, that's basically our request. And it doesn't cost the district anything. The only cost that might come back, and you know, Wes has a point about the, which I think we need to look into. Did we lose the, I heard a beep. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. For a second, I thought the call hung up. We need to look into the IRS stuff, but I believe, and I think Chafee can help us understand that too, because they have a whole lot more experience.
And Matt. Matt Nolte will come here.
Matt Nolte, yeah, and we have Shannon, who we've already met with. We have a lot of people to step us through this, but we can assure you that no part of any program that we're proposing, you know, we wouldn't be in favor of it ourselves, those of us that are, you know, advocating for it, if it were to create some, you know, tax complications for the district. So let's just assume that that's not, we're either going to resolve that or it's dead in the water already, okay? But outside of that, we're actually not really asking for anything other than the possibility, and this is, it's not a Crestone program. This is a district-wide program. Anybody in this district can participate. It's just that we happen to be, a lot of us, interested in it because we've had those trainings. I've got quite a few certifications in the file folder, but I don't have them because I lost my red card status when we all dropped off of the Baca department. We lost that ability because they were our issuing agency. So that those classes you can take, you know, the basic one is your 130, 190 type 2 firefighter. That's the first one you take, and then on top of that, you can...
Wes, do we not offer those academies to the firefighters as it currently stands?
No,
I mean, as far as the training is concerned, do we not offer that anyway?
The training, but not the red card.
You're basically getting to go to college, but you're getting to sit in the seat and listen to the professor talk, but you don't actually get credit for it unless you have a red card issuing agency that issues you a red card.
And you get experience.
And the experience and certifies you. And that's what we have, all the people that are willing to do that. And so it's really a no risk to the district because there's no cost to the district, only benefit. And down the road...
let me ask you this then. If nobody's planning on going and nobody's planning on doing it, then why ask for the red card? Why not just accept the training that's getting and not expose the district to the IRS potential issues and the additional insurance cost issues? If no one's planning on going, why not do the status quo of accept the training that we offer, because we encourage training? I'm sure there's not a member on that board that's not going to discourage firefighters from increasing their knowledge and the training.
Okay, I'm gonna put you back on the big speaker, Jeff, so everybody can hear that. So go ahead.
So what I'm trying to wrap my head around is if nobody's planning on going to any of these fires, nobody's really wanting to do anything, we offer all of that anyway. In fact, there's not a board member here that's going to say, no, we don't want to encourage training, because we absolutely do. But if nobody's planning on doing any of this, you know, outside of the potential IRS liabilities, the insurance potential there, why are we doing that? I guess, why need the red card if you're not planning on doing anything with it?
Yeah, and as far as a red card is concerned, that's a fairly simple issue to get along with. That's certifying that you're doing a PAC test. And, you know, that's really what it is. You take the 130, 190, you take the PAC test to say that you're physically fit enough to fight this fire and to go out with the feds, their minimum standard. And then as you go out and do these standards, you have a task book. And so that's the National Wildfire Certification Guide. So... that's how you get to be an engine boss or whatever. Even if it's within our own district, they will probably require us to have a red card to stay on an extended fire. We haven't had that issue before because typically we don't have enough people to go out there and continue to do this. So, I mean, I certainly can't take off for 2 weeks and be available. We shuttle people around. But, yeah, that's one of the issues.
Another thought comes to mind on this is if we decide to go that route, we're no longer a volunteer fire department, correct? Exactly. Now we're red card issuing, sending people on fires.
We could be volunteers.
And I feel like with...
But they would have to go out with somebody else.
Northern Sawatch Volunteer Fire Department or District, that's kind of defeating the purpose there, too. I think we're kind of stepping out of our lane a little bit going that route. I'm good with just leaving everything the way it is, personally.
Can I answer that, Wes?
Crash down south.
think there's some airbags deployed.
This is Alder again. Can you hear me okay?
Marker 72.
Okay, turn it up. Turn the bottom towards you.
Okay. Can you hear me okay? This is Alder's.
Turn it straight the other way.
You know, if somebody's planning on getting the red card, then...
Turn it around.
There's no sense in doing it.
Can you hear me okay?
This one?
Can you hear me? Yeah, this is Alder, Assistant Chief. So what Craig said is we're kind of like these, you know, our little six-person team right now. We may have, he said, we don't have any people right now that know that they want to go out. I'm one who would like to be able to if I can. But we have like a 17-year-old in our, you know, who absolutely wants to go out as soon as he turns 18 in April. And we can actually recruit new members. And there's what's the 130, 190 is just the very beginning. Okay, there's, you know, essentially what we can do through this program is create essentially college degree firefighters who can make, you know, $40,000 or $50,000 a year living in Sawatch County and going out and fighting.
So basically you're asking us for a grant or something, scholarship.
No, that's where you're misunderstanding. We're not asking for anything. Because we don't even have...
If we do this, and then they go out and they're taking that to make their ways in their own careers.
He
made mention of it being like a college, going to college, sitting in the seats, getting all the information, but not being able to do anything with it. Is that what I heard?
No. So there's what's called... And I think we would be happy when you're back here if you want to get together for lunch or something and get more information, have a longer conversation. But there's what's called single resource firefighters who can do, they don't even have to have a truck. You can be a public relations officer. You could be a communications officer. You could be any.
No, I understand all of that part.
Okay, so those people could then deploy with Chaffee County or with a private contractor, but in order to do that, they have to have a red card issuing agency to basically just dot the I's and cross the T's on their status.
So what I'm getting out of this, can you hear me Jeff?
I'm curious what the comments of the rest of the board are.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So my question on this is you only need this fire district to be the red card issuing agency. So we pay all the training and everything for these guys to go out and make money.
Right.
But really the district doesn't get much out of this as far as money.
Right. The district.
That's the way I understood it.
Other districts and we're out firefighters.
If the 18 to 20 is on.
We can do that now.
Because we've seen this before.
If you follow DFPC guidelines, you can make 10% off of the person that went out.
We could.
Right.
That's potential, but we also could.
But what is our insurance cover for this?
I'd have to call them and get a portion of it. That I'm sure they have something worked out. I'd have to
every
call
time we go for a grant,
and
we have
see.
To go
but like I said, if they then get injured,
the time,
they cover it.
We also
but
have
it'll still your mod.
We also
there.
Have to file
but
all
you wouldn't
kinds
probably
of
be
IRS
out
stuff
finance.
For payment of our people. Instead of just 1099s or...
So we would have to up our insurance, because our insurance would be covering these guys if they went out.
Well, yes. Yeah, but then they said if there's a claim, then they would then cover that. But it counts against us.
But here's the issue I have, and with the premise of the workman's comp getting changed, when we pay workman's comp on these guys so that they can go out, that's a year-long workman's comp. We only get reimbursed when and if they go out. So that's one downfall.
So you have it changes our rating.
It could change our rating, really. You know.
I get asked that, but I.
You guys get maximum benefit already, but then when they go out because they're making money, because volunteers get maximum for minimum payment.
Right.
When they go out on a call, or if we change it so that they can go out on a call to get their NWCG quals, etc., then that changes us to a whole different ball game, and it could change everybody.
Yeah, it would be a different rating.
I'm just going to suggest that we wait until Matt Milton is here. And we can,
I'll tell you. I'm not willing to go there yet, and here's the reason why. Because I talked to Matt Nolte. I talked to David Freeze first. He got an email from you. And he said he talked to you. Matt Nolte got an email from you on the 21st. Then you contacted him again on the 28th. I was actually standing beside him after he was looking at his notes. And so he told you you needed to come to the board. And then the next thing that happened, I get a call Friday morning at 8 o'clock that Matt Nolte got a call from Vaughn Jones, who's his superior, because there is a voicemail in Denver from you, stating that what can we do, and so we don't have to go beg the fire district. And so we have that voicemail.
I'd love to hear it. Oh man, they got it all set up.
Yeah, Wes, I think right now I'm good with this, just doing the trainings and everything, and I don't really feel like the district needs to step out on a limb and do the red card thing. I think that we need to stay a volunteer fire district for staying home.
I don't have a problem doing the red card stuff because that could help us in district. But what I do have the problem doing is sending them out for NWCG quals on our dime. And there's going to be our dime somewhere along the line. But here's the recording from the voicemail. You've probably heard this, Jeff, right? Have you heard this recording, Jeff? Go ahead.
Hey, this is Daniel Johnson. I'm the wildland trainer and safety officer at Crestone Volunteer Fire Department. We're trying to set up a wildfire program with using task books, red cards, IQS, the whole thing, IROC. And we're not sure if we can do this as a volunteer fire department or whether we have to try to convince the entire Northern Sawatch County Fire Protection District Board to let us do this, or can we set it up on our own? Can we be part of the cooperator system? We're not planning to send any equipment out because they don't have any equipment that would pass an inspection on a wildfire. It's all very old stuff, but we want to get some of these people red cards so that they can go out on other cooperators' vehicles and get that training and qualifications, and of course, get some money. My number is 719-480-9764. And thank you very much. I know it's a kind of complicated question, but we're sure hoping to get a wildland program going. Thank you.
So Vaughn, what Vaughn wrote me was...
Wait, let's talk about Wes,
that. Wes, I have another question.
Go ahead.
So, with this training and all this, they're wanting to have the ability, if they want to go out on these outside fires, Chafee, whatever, jump on an engine, do whatever. So my question is how much participation are they giving the district currently?
I don't understand the question.
What do you mean, Jeff?
We currently get quite a few calls every year. What is this group that's wanting to do this? What is their current participation to response for the calls in the district that we currently have?
How many hours did we have last month, Craig?
I'd have to.
Well, he's asking about calls. Mm-hmm. How many times do you respond to a call within the district?
Well, I would say 95% of the time.
How many calls are they currently responding to, you know, to help the district out? Now, having the red card, I see the benefit like you've explained, but are they currently helping the district whenever we currently have calls throughout the district?
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, we respond, we stand by, we're usually turned down or stood down before we reach Moffitt. But we've had calls in our area that we respond to.
Well, standby is still calling, showing up.
Yeah.
We've had, me personally, from the training that I got under this same program with Baca, back when I was on Baca, this is Alder, put out two fires, one single-handedly got the front end of it when nobody was on that part of the fire, the stupa fire that prevented it from going into the pine and juniper.
I remember hearing you on that call, yeah.
Yeah, I happened to be on the, bumped my radio and was on the wrong channel calling over and over and over for support. But I put out about 500 linear feet of that right at the verge of it getting into the juniper. If it had hit the juniper, we might have lost 3,000 homes. Or I guess we don't have that many, however many, a lot. It could have taken the whole town out. And then the water tower fire also put to the everything I did on the water tower fire, you know, we were fighting 100-foot, 80-foot flame lengths on Chamisa, blowing sideways and whatever that was, pretty strong winds, 20-mile, 30-mile-per-hour winds. And if I hadn't had that wildland training that I had, we would have run out of water 2 minutes into that fire.
I'm all for the training. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for the training. I'm trying to find a reason to all right, let's have the district put the bill so you guys can go make money.
It's not
but
just to make money.
With it being a volunteer district, I guess the question, I'm going to be blunt here, is are you showing up as much as all the other departments are?
We
ask for something extra.
We struggle with membership for the reasons that we were talking about earlier, that most of our people live in outside of the district and are on the Baca department because of it. The Baca has this program in place. They have, what, 30 people? 30 red card certified firefighters who can respond and do all this stuff. We just want the same thing that they've got.
But you guys quit the Baca, and so you're over here now? Is that what happened?
We were pushed out of the Baca because of the politics that you don't want to have to go into. We were locked out of our station.
Well, Jeff, this is a training program that holds people account to actually get the certifications and have the training that we need in our area. We're a huge wildland urban interface, and although we train a little bit here in the district, a lot of the district firefighters do not have the knowledge to put out a wildfire that starts in Crestone area. And it's coming, especially as dry as it is this year. These wildfires are going to happen or could happen. And this program is to hold district members that want to participate accountable to get the training and keep the training and get the knowledge that we need in the district.
The other big issue is you can't go up that ladder of training without completing a task book and getting certified at one level, the same way you can't go on to a master's degree until you get your bachelor's, and you can't get your bachelor's unless you have an associate's. And so we're trying to just create the certification that will actually give us credit for what we're going to study anyway. And we're even willing, some of us will pay our own way in Fire Academy And, you know, like, we're not asking for money. If there's money for training, great, we'll take it. We're not going to say no.
I'm hearing that. So I feel like you guys have given a pretty convincing argument.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to refer to our district chief now.
Okay.
And ask him what his advice is for the board.
I want to see what the other board members think.
We're going to send it on to the other board members.
Okay. I'm processing it.
Well, after Jeff, this is Richard, after listening to that phone message, I'm not real impressed. That sounds to me like that was kind of bashing.
May I say?
Or bashing on our trucks.
Can I say something?
Just hold on. I'm not impressed with that, and I really don't think we can go anywhere here. We've been down this road before, sending guys to off to courses and so forth, and then they end up moving off and going off elsewhere, and then we got to find more guys, and that's where I'm at.
They go elsewhere because they can't get certified in our district. That's why they go elsewhere. We've lost.
That's not the whole reason. Okay, so let's not go there.
Francis, you got to.
No, I don't.
So here's,
I've done all that training and stuff.
Here's my take. I don't have a problem sending these guys to wildfire classes, provided they're something useful to our district. What I see a lot of times is, are they going to be useful to our district? They want to go play with the big boys before they learn how to play with the little guys. I don't have a problem also red carding. That's not an issue. We'll have to figure out how to get the vests and get that done and certify that they can meet those standards as set by the wildfire, National Wildfire Certification Guidelines. What I do have an issue with is sending them out to get their NWCG qualifications, and I'm not wholeheartedly against that. I just don't know exactly how that's going to affect our district. And that could have some negative connotations, and I think we need to further explore that. But I think at this point, you know, I don't have a problem sending them to the Wildfire Academy. We've done that for years. In fact, Crestone's had more opportunity to go there than anybody. Because quite frankly, a lot of guys have jobs and can't go in the week. But... you know, every time Sawatch or some of the others get guys qualled up, guess what? We lose them to the feds. And that's just a function of it. South Fork is doing that too. These guys move around all the time. But even within the Forest Service, they lose their guys from this group to that group to, you know, you just never know. But what I have an issue with is that I got an email with this qualification on it, but I didn't get anything as the district chief from the station chief that said, hey, can we go talk to Matt Nolting? Can we call the state? And when I start getting these calls at 8:30 in the morning and they're upset because they got thrown out of bed by their superiors at 6:30, I take issue. So there we are.
You played this. I think I need to respond to it.
Feel free.
Okay. All right.
You might want to push that off.
Test,
of here.
Test. You with me?
No, you might. No, don't push that. Push it off of there. Craig knows how. Just push it to speaker. There you go.
You have me, Jeff?
Yeah.
Okay. When you played this, it felt like you were doing an ambush. Like, look what I have on you.
I felt like I was ambushed.
But you're not letting me say anything. Well, I don't know how I come across on a telephone. I was calling the state DFPC finance people to find out what we were asking for. We were asked to get information before we come in here so we could answer your questions and know what we were asking for. And that you, it's true that there aren't any engines that could go out on a wildfire from here. We're not trying to do that. That wasn't a slight to you or anything. It was saying, we're not trying to do that. Can we go out as Crestone Fire? And we cannot. But these people never called back. I never heard anything. I had to go through South Fork and talk to the chief over there. I had to go through Deer Mountain. I had to go through Chafee. I had to go through people to find out that, no, we're not a municipality. We're not an entity.
And why didn't I get a phone call?
Because you were against it from the beginning.
No, but I can answer your questions as to why. I wasn't against this. I'm against sending our trucks out.
Right.
Not against anything else.
So when Shannon came to the Crestone station and then gave us some information, and then that's when Matt and other people were contacted, and that's when they called you. We had that in this meeting, and I explained then that previous meeting we requested to look into having a wildfire program, and we were told to gather information and bring it back to the board.
When was that?
That was previous to Shannon coming out. And then when Shannon came out, we were gathering information. So when it came out into the board meeting that we had got, you know, you had thought we'd gone behind your back to talk to Shannon, we were just gathering information that I'd already said we were going to gather.
We didn't
And
know.
So all this and this phone call and talking to these other departments that have done this wildfire program, even as volunteers, not becoming paid stations, they've done this program. We were gathering information. So that's all we've been doing is gathering information to present it to you guys. And honestly, if the board says, look, we are okay doing red cards, we're okay with doing certified trainings and keeping guys certified, and that's all that you guys are interested in doing, that's where we'll keep it. The potential of someone going out on a fire is there, but that's not really what we're asking for. We're asking for to the board to okay us to have the certification program, to have red cards, to issue red cards, so that we have certified wildfire fighters in our district, which we have zero except for Daniel right now.
I personally want to learn. I personally can speak for myself. I have kids in school. I probably can't deploy. Just like most of these ranchers, I have commitments here in the valley that prevent me from going out for 14 days currently. You know, maybe my circumstances in the future will change. But I studied with a guy who's a logistics guy who's done more hurricanes than I've done. And I've done an earthquake and four hurricanes. But he was our logistics guy for Hurricane Sandy for all of New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, and I ran into him in New Orleans on Katrina, and I got to study with him, but I wasn't allowed to open a task book because I wasn't in a red card district. This was since I've been on Crestone. I want to study communications and learn communications stuff, but I can't open that task book because I'm not on a red card issuing agency.
And this is maybe my stupidity, but why do you need a red card, a wildfire red card, to respond to a hurricane?
That's a separate. I'm just saying that the privilege I was taught, learning directly this far away from the guy who works for the federal government organizing logistics at that level, to bring those skills back to our county. But I couldn't pursue yeah. that further because we didn't have the ability for me to do that because I had to open up a task book and get certified before I could go to take the next class.
But at this level that we work at right now, we don't need that level of training.
We will know that we will if we had lost control of the stupefier, that would have turned from a type 3 to a type 2 in a single afternoon.
Type 1.
That same day that we put out the stupid fire,
and you know,
another fire started in Colorado that burned for 2 months.
I know that.
And we got that fire put out, and that was because of our commitment to training and all the academies that you guys have sent us to. We had the experience. This is literally a program to help certify our members in district and hold them to account to keep the certifications and keep the training and get the training that we need to protect our district.
They can get the certification. They don't need the red card.
No, you can't.
You have to have the red card to get the certification.
Explain why Chief, you can't. I'm asking because I don't know.
Okay.
You do the training. You're all up to snuff on all that. Why can't you hold a red card from Chaffee County or since
because I don't
Debaca,
live in Chaffee, I'd have to join
you have
there.
To
I'd have to be
live
in
the district to get a red card.
Yeah. I have to have an agency to issue it. If I could join Chaffee living in Crestone,
right.
I'd quit Crestone and join Chaffee and work for and
doesn't
get
one of
these
their employees
things.
Live in Crestone?
What's that?
Doesn't Ben Brack live in Crestone, or does he part-time live in Crestone?
Yeah, Ben Brack, he's...
But you have to live in the district to get a red card.
The same way that, for the same reason that we denied, what's her name?
That's not true. You don't need to live in the district to get a red card. You need to have the fire department agree that they are going to send you out on wildfires. You can only have one red card. I have my red card with Chaffee. I don't live in that county.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So you can get to do all the classes, do all the learning, and get certified through Chaffee County.
Can
but
I
get your red card?
But then I'm working for Chaffee County. I won't be here.
I understand that. But yeah. Then that does not jeopardize our ability to get grants and funding.
That those could be negative connotations. I don't
I
know
don't
about
know if that does. So
I'm just saying I think there's a potential for that. I think we're beating a dead horse here in the sense of if you can get red carded through Chaffee County, they're 35 miles away.
But I had all the calls before I went there. They're not going to hire anybody from here because they
but
don't
did you get qualifications because you went to school? Mm-hmm. I'm asking. I'm not accusing.
I'm a career firefighter.
Think of it as
50 years.
Right.
Think of it as electric or plumbing certification that you have to be an understudy and get that certification.
Sure.
Okay. You can do the bookwork. We have the right to do the bookwork. We can get the books, but you can't get the experience you need to get signed off to get from one level to the next without actually going out on fires. And getting those
the
experience
experiences. You get there is beyond anything you're going to see here on a big fire.
And that's what we don't have access to.
I mean, again, literally, if you guys just want to limit it to you're only going to issue red cards and agree that we can train and create this program for certifications, you can say we're not going to send out anyone from this district.
You're really trying to get us to do nothing more than be able to issue red cards.
That's basically the point right now. But in return, we are asking for a little extra funding for training.
So.
But that money is already in the budget. So we're not like asking you guys to create more funding for training. We want to have more accountability for this
and
training.
That training is available to everybody.
Did you have some, Jeff? 30 years from West Metro.
Okay.
I've been here 20 years now. So I'm a
okay, go 50, ahead.
50 year fires.
Well, I heard that about you. I heard you got on the board.
Did you go out on
go get it in Chaffee. As far as our district, I'm not seeing. And if they can get it in the red card in Chaffee and hold it in our district, and we can get the benefit from that, then let's go that route. But as far as sending people from our district to go to these other fires and things like that, I don't really see the benefit to us in that.
Hey, so, Jeff, can I stop you real quick?
Yeah.
Obviously, you know who this is.
Yep.
I am not talking to anybody else about this. I'm looking at this a couple different ways. Well, one different way. If we have high school kids, 17, 18 years old,
yeah.
And I'm saying this is not something we're voting on tonight, I promise you that. But I think we need to look at this as career development. I'm a huge proponent of I don't give a rat's ass about the basic four, and we need to get back to plumbing and construction and XYZ. And that, to me, this falls in it, and I don't want to take that away from a kid. Just food for thought on that. That's all I really have to say about it, because it's getting late and I'm getting agitated. But
yeah, I kind of am too on that one. That's fair. I think we need to. That's real fair. I think thinking about it more is a good thing.
I got a 15-year-old son who wants to be an engineer, and he wants to study fire engineering, and this would be his opportunity to do that and not leave the county
and join the fire department.
Yeah. And still be productive in the local communities. I think this needs to be discussed further. Anybody else got thoughts? Because I'm going to pass it back to the president and let's roll.
I'm in the mood. I guess let's see when Wes gets back here. I'm in the mood to table it till next month.
Let's do that.
We table it till next month.
Okay. Like I said, I don't have a problem with the red card stuff at all. We just have to figure out how to do that.
Can you hear Wes, Jeff?
He's right here.
Yeah, Wes, can you call our insurance and see what that would do?
We can get a hold of Workman's Comp and see what that would do. We could call VFIS, make sure we're still okay. They handle our Workman's Comp for now, till they get rid of Pinnacle. Not VFIS, but the state's trying to get rid of Pinnacle.
Oh, I did hear that.
So anyway, we can do that. I can bounce a few questions off our attorney, but I don't have too many on this for him. I will visit with some folks and figure out exactly what we have to do for the red card. I'm going to say that I don't understand why the state finance was called on this, because their finance department is strictly for DFPC. They do not pay any bills or anything else on the wildland. They bill the forest and others for it. And that's kind of why they didn't know where to go with it. So they sent it to James or to Vaughn Jones, and Matt got his call first thing Friday morning. So, yeah, I kind of.
I'll keep the thought of tabling it too.
Okay.
It is getting late, and I'm going to lose you guys again here pretty soon.
Okay. Well, we're good then.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You want me to hang up now, or are you good?
I'm getting ready to head up the pass, so I think we're good.
Okay, you be careful. Thanks, you be safe.
So what, we need a motion to table this in the next month?
You don't need a motion, but I'll put it on the agenda.
Well, I want to appreciate you guys for taking the time to listen to this. It is an important certification, or having certifications for our district, and this is for district wide.
It's not the first time we've tried to red card guys. In the old days, they wouldn't consider because we didn't have the quals to red card guys or to do the tests and red card guys. They were going, "Well, who's going to sign it?" Then the state has changed their mind, and the feds, quite frankly, are the ones who changed their mind and said, "Oh, the local department can do that." But the Forest Service used a red card for us. Mm-hmm. They don't anymore, which, we'll have to get some vests and things like that. We can figure it out, but we got to keep this line of communication straight through, because this is, I really was angry when I started getting these calls. Well, and the more of them I got, the more angry I got. And quite frankly, I come into this tonight
with the opinion that everybody could quit or they could tell me to hit the road, and I would have been good with all of it.
Well, so my sincerest apologies for making you feel that way. We only intended to gather the information so that we could present this. What I want to do is have the certifications, but let's table this. I want to just thank you guys for taking the time to listen. And let's talk about it next month.
So can we go on to a little bit different, last thing? Cause I have a chainsaw in my truck for these guys. Do you want me to send it home?
No, they pissed me off. No,
okay, just checking, because I was going to chop their legs off with it or something, but I haven't put gas in it yet.
Oh.
Hey, thanks. Wes, just to that too, being kind of a bystander, because you know I wasn't one of the drivers on this. Daniel came to us with a lot of excitement. My feeling is Daniel, he's a frontline guy. He doesn't maybe know the bureaucratic side of all this, so he was asking.
Oh, if he's been in fire 50 years, he knows the bureaucratic side.
But what I mean is, he's never helped certify a district to issue red cards. But
yeah,
he probably was stepping in a lot of areas that he was not familiar
I see this circle.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't the first time this has been out there, and it's not the first time coming from Crestone. And it's like, no, but we don't want you to pay for us to go out, but we still have to go out to get our quals. It's a circle. Mm-hmm. And we got to figure that out all together and not just...
Can I ask you a question on all this?
Yeah.
Okay, so use me for an example. I've got a squad boss, engine boss, completed task book. I'm a crew boss, engine boss trainee. I've got my Sawyer and all of that stuff. So say I went through and I got red carded, however, with the district, and then we have a wildland call. Now, am I going to have people that are not red carded assigned to my team, or because like I would
initial attack in this district or in any district in the state of Colorado does not require a red card.
Okay, so what about shelters? Having shelters? And having a shelter safety class before
we have some of those, and that we have some of those.
Because that, I mean, like if he started going through like all the PIM, like how many people would have completed the shelter, safety thing, and then all that to scrape together a crew.
The refresher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, that's an annual refresher on the 130/190.
Right.
That's not difficult to deal with. What we would have to do would borrow some training shelters, because at $500 a piece, we're not going to screw one up for more than $500. Huh?
We have old training shelters.
Old ones don't do the same as new ones.
We have training shelters.
Do you have the new training shelter?
I believe so, yeah, because we got them just 2 years ago when they had the the ALP across the street.
Right? Okay, that's right. Training with them. I forgot somebody brought those.
Yeah. And just having the shelters, too, like for everybody that's got a... Issued wildland.
We have them in the truck. We have shelters in the trucks.
Have
some have them other places.
Yeah, okay.
You know, we're going to try to get some more shelters, but they're, like I said, $500 a piece. Problem is, you get a grant for a shelter, or somebody wants to give you shelter, they're all large, or they're all regular. Mm-hmm. Half these guys don't fit in one. Mm-hmm. Will and myself don't fit in two.
I'll be in the bulldozer.
Well, again, I think we should get off this subject and move on, so we can get out of here.
Any comments?
I actually have one on a different subject.
Is this new business or citizen
comments? This is citizen comments.
So we're off of new business, moving to citizen comments.
So Wes passed out an inactive form for members that want to go inactive. And although I'm against the district's drug policy as it's written, because I think there should be ways to keep on the district and prove yourself clean, I think that after a drug test has been announced, if you try to go inactive,
no,
that you shouldn't be able to. The drug test is announced. Oh, I'm going to go inactive. I think that should be instant. You know, if they refuse to test, then they should be fired.
I have guys that are out of the country, and right now, and I know it.
Right.
I have Randy Kelly from Villa Grove. He's down in Arizona. He won't be back up to March.
Yeah.
The day he comes back, he'll drug test. It's just what he does every year.
Right, right. But that's different than inactive.
I have a young cadet who's actually down in Oklahoma building a barns right now for a company. He will be back up here in May. His dad is actually down there doing it, but he's here, so he's doing in drug test tomorrow.
Right.
So, but
I see what you're saying, and yeah. I totally agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, we're not accepting that for the
drug test here.
It just was odd that the form came out.
It's because I found it on my desk when I was going through all this crap.
So I want to make sure, because like last year, when the drug test was announced, Armando had previously requested to go inactive. And that's why he stayed inactive, even though he didn't drug test. Now, he didn't come back, so that's moot. But, you know, I think that if someone, like, tries to go inactive after the test has been announced, that it shouldn't
be accepted. And one of the reasons I gave you those is, number one, they're signing that I want to go inactive, and they're dating it. And that doesn't matter whether they go inactive to go on vacation for 2 or 3 months or what they're doing, you know, and or whether, like, Haley Collins got sick. She had a workman's comp claim, broke her hand really badly. She couldn't do anything. So we can't just kick her in the teeth, but she couldn't be on for workman's comp. So in order for her to come back, I need something signed. And then I need to say, okay, now I need a doctor's letter, which I have. I had to do the same thing for John.
I had to send him all my paperwork out.
You know, so he's effectively inactive until he had a horrible hernia. He doesn't mind me saying it. Until he got that hernia taken care of. And, you know, they opened him up and left him for several days before they took him to Colorado Springs to do it.
And opened me up again. Yeah, I got it twice.
This is...
They couldn't handle the salitis, so they had to send me over.
This is serious business. So he sent me a medical thing, but we needed to have him sign something.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So that was the only reason I had it on my desk. It's been ready to go for months. and I just buried it, and there it was.
So that is the case, that once the test is announced, that someone can't go inactive and stay in district.
No.
Well, they should test.
Well, they should test.
They should test and then go inactive if they're honest about it.
Right.
If they're using it as a vehicle to get past the drug test, that's nonsense.
You know, and face it, you and I both know, you know, one of our firefighters says, well, you know, I'm going inactive right now because I'm doing this. They're still in our community. They still talk to the same people we know. You and I can tell whether that's bogus or not. You know, he's got one every year. He goes to Arizona. Now, they're planning on being back up here 1st of March. He texted me, said, Wes, won't be back till about March 1st. I'll get in as quick as I can. So, you know, Nate got in. You got in. David Fries isn't going to be here this week. He got in. You know, and sometimes you can't get in. But if you let me know, I can't get in this week, doesn't work, can you set me up another day next week? Because I'll be here. We can do that. Or early. But, yeah.
And then I already know this answer, but just to clarify, when someone that is inactive returns, they must... Drug test. Return. Cool.
Any other citizen comments?
Rescue 7 is unroadworthy and it will not be going out of the station.
What did you do, Trevor?
I did nothing, but I barely made it back. And I barely made it to Warren's driveway outside of
here. Is it cutting out?
Oh, it's back.
It'll quit that after it warms up. That's true, JT. Wow.
The way it's jumping and jerking, it does not need to be going out. It's just going to break down and leave us stranded.
That's okay. You can tow it in.
We better keep it going if we have a car wreck south. If we go north, let's not take it. But we'll keep it going if we've got a car wreck going south. Okay. If it blows up, we'll just tow it back.
Jeez. Yeah.
All right. Sounds like a fine piece of equipment.
You've got a chief. It's not your call, it's his.
I know, I'm just stating my opinion.
Okay.
So everybody hears it.
Review of the bills, that's all done?
Yep, we're good.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn at 10:05.
Second. I may have fouled this up, John.
No. Not a bad injector.